Blog Talk Radio.
Father, we praise your name and we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for the progression that we see happening in the prophetic word of your Holy Bible. We don't want any harm to come to the people that are in the middle of it all, and we'll certainly be praying for them. But at this time, I think, you know, whether or not it escalates or not is a humongous question, and I would submit there's a high level of possibility that it might not. However, at this time, just so that people know, if you don't, there is currently a barrage of missiles. Actually, it may have died down by now, but it started out with Hezbollah overwhelming Israel with missile attacks, and essentially overwhelming the Iron Dome, if you will. And And we have American news sources, you know, mainstream media, which can't be trusted. They want the war to happen, so we can't trust anybody. That's just as simple as that. What we can trust is when you have feet on the ground and live video footage, but it's very difficult to confirm when there isn't live video footage and you simply have somebody claiming that they are in Syria right now and they see this and that. So there have been claims of I've seen claims, and again, they're claims of a number of different things that supposedly indicate that there's going to be an escalation. But now, what do I mean by an escalation? So the claims that are coming out is that the initial massive barrage of missiles that came out of Lebanon and Hezbollah, originally there were quite a few that thought that they were coming from Iran, and you could argue that Hezbollah attacks are coming from Iran, and you would be accurate. There's also additional missile attacks that are coming out of Gaza right now. So, of course, who would have thought that that the problem would have been solved? Certainly not. And we also know what one of the things that we do know for sure, but I will say this before I progress, is there are reports, whether they're viable or not, we cannot possibly tell. But there are a lot of reports that suggest that Iran has readied, that's what the terminology they're using, readied up to 100 ballistic missiles. Now, that seems excessive to me, and so I kind of don't believe it. Because we know that you have to consider the source, and we're going to progress with the prayer vigil because I'm not seeing any indication that this is going to escalate. I've even seen reports that suggest that the escalation will probably happen over the next 72 hours, but even those are not trustworthy reports. There may be no escalation. We don't know. But there may be as well. And we don't know what – the other thing we don't know is when. Okay, so, but the theories that are flying around out there and the claims that are flying around out there, many of them are backed by the lying mainstream media news in Babylon the Great, the United States of Babylon the Great. We know that Babylon the Great, the United States, wants the West to be destroyed. We know that they want Israel to continue to attack Gaza and wipe it out. Because they say so overtly, very, very in your face. So we know as a fact that that's what they want. But when you consider the source, which unfortunately the churches in the United States of Babylon the Great do not do, because they just don't know any better. It's not because they're bad or they mean to be bad. It's just they're awfully misled. And so... so when you consider the source of who's voting for what, and you know certain things about those sources, and thank you, Vera, thank you, Justin, for confirming that the audio is okay. But I have to get this off my chest because, I know that people that listen to this podcast, you know, 2 or 3 months from now, if there is no escalation, will be, you know what I mean? That's the thing. I had to do the program tonight, even though when Israel's being attacked and the possibility of World War III starting, is happening live, you know, literally on your computer screen, and you're watching the videos, you're watching the Iron Dome attacks, you're watching the Gaza missile attacks supportive of it. You're seeing reports coming in from ABC News suggesting that there's 100 ballistic missiles that are being readied in Iran for additional attacks, and suggestions also that state that, you know, right or wrong, flat out lie, we don't know, that state that the Hezbollah attack was just to soften Israel up, and then comes the big one. There were also reports of American missile batteries, anti-air missile batteries being set up rapidly, if not already there, they were unclear, on the Jordan-Israel border. The other countries, the United Arab Emirates, Qatar, I believe Saudi Arabia, but they're pretty far south, so they may not have made a commitment, but Turkey has joined in. They have all made, you know, official statements that any American military base that's located in their country may not be used for the purpose of retaliating against Iran. So in other words, they want to stay out of it. They want to, you know, they want to stay out of it. Simple as that. So we don't know, and we're not going to know. That's just going to be how it is. Now, I also am aware that there are people out there, very intelligent, very well-connected people that are awesome, some of which have been guests on the show and vice versa and such, that I get the impression from some of them, I have to be careful, you know, I don't want to overstate it, but there's a pretty, so you've got different belief system bubbles, if you will, out there. You've got the American church, churchianity belief system that believes that they can behave however they want, once saved, always saved, you know, whatever the case may be, and as long as they're supporting Israel, no matter what, as long as they're supporting Israel because of the Abrahamic covenants, they are, you know, they believe that they're in the right place. Okay, and of course they believe they're in the right place. No, you know, a pastor of a church, unless it's a larger church and that pastor is actually a tear, a reptilian entity, which there are many of those. The bigger the church, the more likelihood that the person or whatever that is running that church probably was killed, maybe replaced somehow by fallen angel technologies and cloning to ultimately, you know, take over the church. There's so much data on this. You could literally do hours and hours. And I'm also considering, thinking about it, don't know yet, restarting a Saturday morning show that I do solo. I don't know for how long, maybe a couple hours. Don't know. I don't even know if I'm going to do it at all, but to tackle exceedingly high tech, exceedingly advanced information that, well, quite frankly, the vast majority of even the smartest Christians will not be able to understand it very easily. So one of the things that's been happening, and I'm just sharing this, because to me a show is a show, and the Prayer Vigil's precious to me, but you can't ignore the beginning of World War III if that's what's occurring. We don't know for sure. But we do know that going all the way back to 2000 and, oh, I think it was 4 or 5, that General Wesley Clark told a public audience, and the audio bite is still available on YouTube, that he was told right after 9/11 that they were going to attack Iran. So you've got so many Graham, Bolton, endless people and lawmakers in the Congress, which, of course, none of, you know, we can't tell if they're even human. However, thanks to Dr. Bill Deagle, probably other people as well, but the most vivid account was from Dr. Bill Deagle, who has recently passed away, I understand, and is in heaven. He had an extreme, we'll just say an extreme gift of discernment, okay? And he also worked in black operations, okay? That's above top secret stuff. And he was called in for medical purposes to work in the black operations sphere of work, which means that he's going to be walking into facilities that are roped off, cordoned off, that have special black ops soldiers that prevent anybody from entering. So it's very much like, you know, the things that you would see in various movies where they cordon off the area with yellow tape. They put, black military gear wearing, you know, they're black ops soldiers and they wear black. And that's just, you know, it's just very, it's just what they do. And they stop all the cars. They put roadblocks up at all the roadblocks. You know, they stop people from going into the area. As a matter of fact, that's one of the things they did when NASA, as odd as this is, was running the operation for the Los 33 miners, okay, in Chile. And why would you have the National Aeronautical and Space Administration running, controlling, cordoning off the area, black ops military personnel all over the place? Nobody unauthorized was allowed to enter even into the area where NASA was rescuing the Los 33 miners. Now, the way these things operate is they threaten their lives, they threaten their families' lives, they make them sign non-disclosure, they have men in black, which creep people out real bad. They are not human, or if they are, they're really messed up because of, you know, mind control, drug, horrible things that they do to them. But the point is that they will scare the miners so badly that they're afraid for their lives. So they won't whistleblow. They won't tell people the real story of what happened in the mines. However, often, all the time, but often when you have a large group like the 33 at the Chilean mine disaster, you'll have one or two people that just can't stand it, and they will clandestinely, you know, with, you know, very surreptitiously, very under, you know, clandestinely, they'll use voice over recordings. Every day I was there and I saw, you know, it's the, when they alter their voices on purpose with electronics, and they'll come out, you know, and they'll tell people what they actually saw, which in the case of the Los 33 miners, they were actually blowing the mines up to escape reptilian beings that were eating them. They had broken through into a new section of the mine. However, unfortunately for them, there were reptilian beings, which are highly carnivorous, by the way, to human beings. And there are many, many different species and variations of reptilian beings, because 400,000 years ago, the Anunnaki actually did manipulate their DNA for the purpose of working as to mine gold. And it wasn't just reptilian beings. It was also Neanderthal man, Cro-Magnon man. It's, you know, those beings were some of the beings that were created, even in Genesis 1, I would argue, because Genesis 2:4 says, and these are the generations of the heavens and the earth, when the Lord God Yahweh Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Now, that should have been the last verse of the book of Genesis 1. And it's heavily metaphorical. I don't think you can express it or quantify the amount of metaphor. I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, it's about maybe a 20. The amount of metaphor that's integrated into the text of Genesis 1. Even J. Vernon McGee, known as a pastor's pastor in 1950 and 60, back in that time, he was the David Jeremiah of the 1950s, if you will. And he, and we don't even know if David, I'm not saying boo about any of these folks, because the Lord told me not to. I don't know who's who out there. And none of us can know, because when they do these satanic sacrifices and things, there are almost always reports that leak out about church pastors that are captured and horrible, horrible satanic rituals are performed on them, and then they ultimately are killed. So those reports do leak out. I don't know that that's possible with a for real church pastor that's full of the Holy Spirit and has spiritual warfare understanding and power, which, by the way, in my personal opinion, if you don't understand these concepts, you have no reason to be in a church at the podium at all. You should not be there. Unfortunately, with the, I would estimate, millions of churches that we have around the world, I would submit as a likelihood that, with the exception of perhaps the Pentecostal denomination, some non-denominational groups that used to be Pentecostal or Assembly of God, and of course Assembly of God, even those are losing their Holy Spirit power. As a matter of, and I could go into quotes from Smith Wigglesworth and prophecies from Stanley Frodsham and all kinds of things to support this, and I've seen it with my own eyes. I've gotten direct reports from relatives of the church that I was brought up in at the between the age of 6 and 10, 11, 12, and where I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it was one of the most amazing, power-filled churches with supernatural. You know, even Paul said, don't follow the fancy words, follow the power, which is, you know, kind of ricocheting back to the intended subject matter of this this program, praise God. So anyway, there's things going on over there. There are claims that suggest that perhaps over the next couple of days, Iran's going to actually launch one of their ballistic, you know, they're saying they're readying 100, which to me is absolutely ridiculous. So it's clearly overstated. So to me, that is not a true report, but boy, oh boy, the volume of those reports. And you look at the source. We know because Dr. Bill Deagle, praise Jesus for his work, shook hands with Hillary Clinton at a top secret event. You know, there was probably a crashed UFO or something like that, and she was there, something that was above top secret that even the president wasn't allowed. Well, of course, Hillary would be there. Well, now, why would that be? Because Hillary is not human. The problem is when Paul said even Satan himself can transform himself into an angel of light. Now, what's really fascinating is the tone that Paul took when he said that in the text. And it's very difficult to extract the tone and the reality of what was being written on the page because you can't pull the emotions out of it. Was Paul also inferring when he was referring to Lucifer or Satan as being able or capable of transferring himself into the, you know, I get the impression when I read that text that Paul was actually making the point when he said, I got to go back and check the text again. Matter of fact, I'll do it right now because this program is essentially dedicated to this particular topic, praise God, because we have lots of prayer vigils. And people tell me all the time if I'm not able to connect to the radio or Blog Talk Radio is down that they go back to the older shows. Now, I know a lot of people like to do them live. I know that. I'm not going to stop doing live shows. Probably when I do the Saturday shows, I'll probably do those live as well, if I do them. I'm still debating. I think I might, particularly with the things that happened during the so-called eclipse. I'm seeing anomalies on my website that are very creepy, but I'm not going to get into that. I'll let that go. God's got control, and that's just how it is. Praise his name. But anyway, to kind of wrap up the Iran threat, When Bill Deagle testified that he shook the hands of Hillary Clinton, said they were cold and clammy, and then was shown in the spirit a 9-foot-tall Draco reptilian, then I knew. You know, I mean, that was the clincher for me. I mean, people like myself suspect, you know, very similar to the Jews that are not Jews, the Synagogue of Satan, the Khazarian Jews. Those are the Zelenskys, the Soroses, the Netanyahus, we know he is now, just because of their behaviors, the fruit of the tree, really. Now, of course, this is not anything that the American church would agree with, but they don't understand. They have no idea. They probably have never even read or maybe not are even aware of the Synagogue of Satan, because it's only mentioned in a couple of tiny little verses, and it's easy to blow past it. And not very many churches teach from the book of Revelation. They let, you know, the preachers, you know, the go-to guys do that with their $39 DVD sets and such. And if they're reptilians, then you're getting misled. Absolutely. And it is, and it has, you know, you can't interpret Revelation properly without including the aliens. Okay. And you might be like, well, Johnny, what do you mean the aliens? Well, first and foremost, it's both. It's never A or B or C. The answer is always D, all of the above. And we have proof of this in the text of the Holy Bible. Stephen Ben Noon had come on this program, and he is a Hebrew scholar, and came on the program to share with a listening audience. And the name of the program was essentially, he was being gentle in the naming of the program. He already had made his mind up, but he was being gentle in the naming of the program, you know, to reel in more fish. And he said, is there evidence in the Hebrew text of alien invasions? He really wasn't asking a question. It was rhetorical. He knew that there was. Now, here's the thing. It's all of the above. Are they fallen angels? You know, fallen angelic evil beings that were part of the Luciferian war, the wars in the heavens, which, by the way, haven't stopped yet. They're still going on. So when you see in Revelation 12 about the dragon and the wars in the heavens, which is pretty much the only place that I'm aware of in the Bible that it talks about them. Oh, it does talk about them in the Bible. However, the Roman Catholic Church removed the and who else was involved, I have no idea. But there were, we'll just say that there were entities that represent Satan, very close to Satan, that probably not human, that were involved with choosing our 66-book canon. You know, we all know what our Heavenly Father's favorite number is, right? Why in the world would our Heavenly Father allow the final King James Bible to have 66 books, as much as he hates the number 6? Then you have the direct mention of the Book of Jubilees inside the, you know, King James text. But everybody seems to forget about that. There were 14 books of the Apocrypha, which I would argue are not and never were part of the Apocrypha, included in the 1611 King James final release. Not the draft, but the final release, as if they actually did drafts back then, but you know what I'm saying. They removed those 14 books, and there were myriads more of texts that were included in the Ethiopian Coptic text. And you may say, well, why does that matter? Well, I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not, but Moses asked God's permission to marry an Ethiopian woman. So there are arguments that are made out there that the Ethiopian Coptic texts, which include many books of the Apocrypha, many more than 14, are more legit than any other version of the Bible in the world. Now, who's who in the zoo, who's right, who's wrong, that's not for this program, and I don't really even care. What I care about is enabling Christians to be able to be all that they can be, to make the barley harvest, to understand the Bible mysteries and get excited about it, to understand heaven and the universe and get excited about it, to understand the scriptures where Jesus said, if you can receive it, or let the reader beware. When those are there, the church avoids them like the plague, and they won't even teach from 1 John at all, because to them, they can't defend it. And the other thing that the church in America cannot and never does do, although there's probably exceptions, but as a general rule, they never say anything like, you can't translate Greek to English. You can't translate Hebrew to English. They never say that, because that would imply that the Word of God could have errors in it. And so, of course, naturally, they would never say that. The unfortunate reality is that when Greek has 5 words for the word love, and the New Testament after the it, you know, was derived ultimately from the, you know, not ultimately, but the final derivation of it was Greek. Okay, so there's a Kenneth Woist, K-E-N-N-E-T-H, Kenneth Woist, W-E-S-T, expanded New Testament that can be bought. Recommend it, because Kenneth Woist was Greek. Kenneth Woist dreamt and had dreams in Greek. He was on committees, at least a few, for the translation of some Bibles. They needed him. But here's the thing. He, being Greek, dreaming in Greek, looked at the New Testament of, you know, that we all have in our houses and electronically on the internet, and he said, it's wrong. It's not correct. And so what he did was he created the Kenneth Woist expanded, I think it is, New Testament, and he did what's called transliteration. Transliteration is what is required when you have a language that does not do word-for-word translation to another language. So when, and one of the things that he, there was a massive number of changes, and it wasn't, here's the thing, when you read it, you totally get it. You read it, it's the same to you in your heart and your spirit when you're reading it. It's like the same text. You feel like you're reading the New King James. You feel like you're reading the King, you know what I mean? It doesn't like give you a check in your spirit at all. The other thing was he said that the chapters and verses were all wrong. Now, and we all know that the scrolls, the original scrolls, the Dead Sea Scrolls, the different, you know, writings that were arguably used, you know, and it, there's so many historical accounts, but basically they were scrolls and they didn't have chapter and verse. That was added by man, okay, later. And of course, people in churchianity would argue that, oh, well, the Holy Spirit led them, so they're perfect. They have to be perfect. It's completely without any deviation. Now, why would God put in the Bible a warning that says anybody who dorks around with this text, and I believe it's in the book of Revelation, will be, you know, essentially damned to hell? Why would he put that in there if he didn't know that people were going to dork around with it? Okay, enough said. The point, though, is that the Kenneth Woist translation, he interpolates it. So a wonderful example, first and foremost, a paragraph in English. A paragraph is meant to discuss a point. So if you're going to talk about your dog, and you're going to talk about how your dog has blonde hair and it's a sheephound and it loves pink ball toys or whatever the case is, you're going to usually make that statement about your dog and describe your dog from the beginning to the end in that one paragraph, because it's a single topic in the paragraph. That's what the paragraph, why paragraphs exist, is to capture a singular thought in a clump of text. Now, however, if your paragraphs and your are, if they're all misaligned, as Kenneth Way said, and he rearranged them in the expanded New Testament that he wrote, and it makes so much more sense now. And so, for example, where the scripture says, "Seek and ye shall find," you know, ask and it will be given unto you, knock and, you know, that kind of thing. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, keep on seeking, keep on asking, keep on reverently knocking, and these things will be given unto you. Now, the scripture aligns perfectly with the parable of the persistent widow in Luke 18, where she continuously prayed. And by the way, that aligns also with 1 Thessalonians 5, I think. Oh my goodness. Is it 16? Where we're told to pray always. But anyway, I got to go back. I really got to commit some of these to, I got to memorize more. If I had it my way, I'd quit my job, my day job, and spend all my time in the scripture and doing radio shows. But it's just, this is the way that the Lord wants it, obviously. So anyway, so the Kenneth Voice translation is fantastic. It rearranges the paragraphs so that you're dealing with one single thought in a single paragraph. The paragraphs and the, you know, are the passages and such are correct. They're corrected. And then he interpolates the Greek. And you might say, well, what does interpolate mean? Interpolation is when, imagine yourself sitting on a park bench beside a Greek person. And there is someone standing at a podium speaking Greek. Interpolation is when the Greek-speaking person on the park bench beside you, so first the person at the podium says, you know, I can't even imitate Greek, but iki biki 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 biki, right? And then the person on the park bench will say, what he said was blankety 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 blank. So instead of taking each word one by one and trying to do a one-for-one match and put it into a Bible, what Kenneth Voice did was he went over the Greek and he interpolated it and said, I know exactly what Jesus was trying to say here. So I have to rearrange the paragraphs so that there, you know, so that there's a point per paragraph so that everything flows properly. So that's a very good text to have available, when, especially when you're trying to use it as a tiebreaker for parts of the Bible that you're struggling with a little bit. So that's very handy to have. I also recommend having an NLT, Nancy Lima Tango, NLT version of the Bible, which is the foundational Bible version that the Way back in the 70s used. It's a very easy reading, and boy, oh boy, it knocks. It's not 100% accurate. None of them are. But, in you know, it's got certain scriptures that it just knocks. It's a home run. I mean, just such a home run, your mouth falls open. But, you know, I'm very blessed, and I have access to 22 different translations of the Bible and, you know, all the different commentaries and live. I mean, really, if I was to take what I have in my PC study Bible and buy that at a Christian bookstore, it would easily cost $20,000. But because it was all packaged electronically under license and such, and I started investing in it in 1998, even when I was dripping in sin and once saved, always saved nonsense, I don't know what made me do. I was always fascinated by the Bible, so I guess I'm not surprised at all, but I started investing in it even back then. And now that's all beside the point. Back to, okay, so now you understand the translational issues that are going to be always there. It doesn't mean that the Bible verses are not the inerrant word of God. What it means is humans translated it and they are gushing with error. And anybody who tells me, oh, well, you know, the Holy Spirit will tell you everything that's true, just walk into any church and start asking questions about Planet X or something else that's a little bit controversial. And boy, oh boy. Everybody's going to tell you that they're hearing from the Holy Spirit, but everybody's going to have 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 or 12 different answers. Well, that's not true. It doesn't work like that. So, and there's so many scriptures like Psalm 66:18. If I have iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. And if you believe in once saved, always saved, that is iniquity. Iniquity is any perverted belief system that you hold in your heart that you honestly believe, like it's okay to shoot and kill people and you can shoot your way into heaven because of the Second Amendment in the United States. So American, you know, unlike all the other countries, you know, the Christians in the other countries aren't running out and buying guns and ammunition, but the Christians in the United States are. The pastors in the United States are. That is absolutely unbiblical. That is iniquity. Iniquity is a perverted belief that results in multiple sins. That's why King David in Psalm 51 was beseeching God in tears, I'm sure, to create in him a clean heart. He wanted a fresh start. He wanted a fresh start. That's what he was praying for. That's what he was crying out to God for in Psalm 91. That's why we use it on this program routinely to pray that God will do a mighty work in each of us through our repentance, because we are seeped in sin, and it's actually a sin, according to 1 John, to even suggest that you don't have sin, because we do, which is why Luke 21, 36 says, pray all. Now remember, this came right after the parable of the fig tree, and we're the fig tree generation. So you got it in this particular case, which is rare. The context is vitally important. We have to understand that Luke 21:36 is only applicable to the fig tree, the true fig tree generation, which we know that we are. All right, for sure. Whether or not you believe that, I know that Obama is the real son of perdition. I know that Obama is the final antichrist. But the vast majority of guests that I bring on to the radio show do not know that. Now, your mother probably did not sit you down at the age of 10. My mother had, in her 56 years of life, she died from type 2 diabetes. They didn't have great treatment back then. And I was born 20 years later than my sister, so I'm like, you know, my sisters are, one of them's in her 80s and the other one is approaching it. And I've come to find out that my mother never told my sisters what she told me. I really, truly do not understand why. And my mother only had two occurrences in her entire life, two supernatural prophetic events in her entire life, and both of them were in regard to me. The two things that my mother told me in 1972, when I was at the age of 10, slightly less than 1 year after I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit at the age of 9, she sat me down. She had a very serious look on her face. These were two separate sit-down talks. They were separate, spaced out probably weeks, maybe months apart from one another, but I was still 10. For each individual event. The first thing that she said to me was that she had a dream, and this is part of my testimony so that you can understand why I'm so dogmatic about this belief. Oh, but the Bible says that there will be many antichrists. It could be the Queen Mother or somebody, or, well, whoops, that's not going to happen. Oh, it's going to come out of the House of Windsor because of, you know, antichrist and a cup of tea. Well, I don't know about you, but what I'm seeing happening at the House of Windsor ain't looking good for the survival of the royalty in the United Kingdom at all. And this would make sense because of the approach of the planet X solar system, or the Nibiru, as the Sumerians called it, solar system, that was seen by evidently thousands of people during the fake. It wasn't a real eclipse. As a matter of fact, there was a report by the astronomers. Back in 2017, that was going to be the last major eclipse that was going to hit the United States directly for thousands of years. That was announced in 2017. And then lo and behold, we have this one creep up on us. And this one was really strange because the actual trajectory changed. And all the news media rushed out and said, the course has been miscalculated, they said. And the actual path of totality had moved further east. That is scientifically impossible. But it's not impossible when the eclipse is being created by one of the seven planets that orbit planet X, Tyche, the destroyer of nations, the destroyer, or Nibiru. Those are the names that are associated with this failed yellow dwarf star, which collapses into a black mass when a yellow dwarf star collapses and it fails. It turns into a brown dwarf, and it's unbelievably magnetic. I mean, if it's close enough to planet Earth, it can literally lift entire trains off the train tracks and lift them up into the sky. That's how magnetic these things are. It's amazing. And they are minus 273 degrees Fahrenheit in temperature. But you might say, why are there testimonies that there was all this flaming red iron oxide dust and fire and shooting? What happens? Now, I used to subscribe to Astronomy Magazine, and I read these articles. And by golly, if the Lord wasn't so kind during my subscription period to give me, which I still have downstairs, an Astronomy Magazine special on brown dwarfs. And lo and behold, the picture of the brown dwarf that they had was with it passing by another sun. Because when one of these -273 degree Fahrenheit, black, unable to see it without infrared, you can't see it without infrared. You can't. Which is why all the space telescopes, including the Vatican VAT in Mount Graham, have been retrofitted with optics that allow them to now view infrared. But this has been happening over 13 plus years because they knew it was coming and they wanted to watch it come. Why? Because their gods are coming. The Anunnaki are coming to the earth. These races, these alien races, these fallen angelic beings that are very satanic. These are the gods that Jeroboam, when it talks about in the Old Testament, where they went up on the rooftops and they did drink offerings and incense offerings. And, you know, Jeroboam's king, you know, his time as a king in Israel, he was a very dark, you know, Chabad Lubavitch type of a Babylonian Talmud, evil Khazarian type of a Jew. Now, I'm not saying that he was a Khazar. What I'm saying, he was like that. He was dark and evil. And the people that under him were, they did what he, you know, they were as well. And so that the Bible explains that they would go to their rooftops and they would do offerings to the host of heaven. Well, naturally, churchianity would say, well, a host of heaven is really referring to a planet or a star or something like that. They worship the stars and stuff like that. No, it's not. Yea, saith the Lord of hosts. These are host bodies. There's host bodies, and then there's spirit bodies, and then there's demons. There are also alien beings, you know, they're simply alien because they were not indigenous to the earth. They live in other parts of the galaxy. And they are obedient to our Heavenly Father, which is why the book of Job says, can you guide the sons of Arcturus, the sons of God, that live on Arcturus, which is light years away from here? But people just disregard it because everything's got to be about planet Earth. We are very self-centered. It's baked into our flesh. And in order to break out of that, that requires a long, drawn-out, prayer-filled, tear-filled, I mean, my goodness, do you have to get on your knees and cry out to God. And if you do it for long enough, and you tell him, I don't love you enough. Jesus, I'm not in love with you as much as I don't. Help me. Charles and Francis Hunter in their book, How to Heal the Sick, which, by the way, is directly related to spiritual warfare and the casting out of demons. The two are almost interlocked as topics. But anyway, in that book, which I've read at least three times and have all kinds of post-it note pointer stickies, because it's fantastic. It's just absolutely to die for. Fantastic. And Charles and Francis admit in the first chapter of the book that they realized, you know, they had made their mind up that they wanted to serve the Lord and they wanted to become divine healers. They made their mind up before they had even healed anybody. And then they also knew that they needed to fall in love with our Heavenly Father and Jesus. So what they did is they took the literal meaning of, you know, there's life and death and the power of the tongue. We got to pay attention to the words. 99, I would submit, some insane percentage, 99.9% of churchianity out there across the world does not understand spiritual warfare, demons, why does Lucifer exist, our pre-existence, doesn't understand any of those things. They don't get it. And if you don't have all the pieces of the puzzle, you can't interpret what the meaning of the Bible is intended to mean. You don't understand what a significant role these otherworldly beings are going to be playing on this earth. You don't understand why Satan would happily get rid of the House of Windsor. Because they eat their young. These people who worship Lucifer, these people who worship Satan, believe from the very bottom of their heart that he is the light bearer, that he is the great architect of the universe. And they believe from the very, very bottom of their heart, they really believe, as evil as they are, as incredibly abominable as they are, things they do that you cannot even repeat. And let me tell you something, the stuff that Jim Caviezel's talking about with, you know, the kids and all that, that is such the tip of the iceberg, you have no idea. I almost had a nervous breakdown when I was studying that subject. I cannot repeat what they do. I cannot repeat it. But a lot of it has leaked out. Now, so as we see the House of Windsor being torn apart, now, is it going to make another, you know, under William or whatever? I don't know. Why did they kill off Meghan Markle, whatever? Probably the same reason that Diana was killed, because she probably saw them shapeshift. That's what happened to Diana. We found this out after they killed her because her best friend Christine Fitzgerald came forward and blew the whistle on everything that Diana told her. But you have to remember the power that these entities have, the Klaus Schwabs, the banking elite. We don't know who is a reptilian and who isn't. We don't know. Are they all? Maybe not. I would submit that, you know, that you have to indoctrinate somebody. There's a starting point, and they will invite newbies. You know, some billionaire, and they'll say, come out to Davos and join us at the World Economic Forum. It doesn't mean that everybody that's been there is automatically a part of it necessarily. Some choose no. Some say no. They don't want to be a part of it. But we generalize, and so we say things that are kind of mentally handicapped, in my opinion, where we generalize and we say, well, the person's a billionaire, so that just automatically means that they have to be, you know, part of the World Economic Forum. They got to be part of the reptilians and all that kind of stuff. And no, that's like saying every white person on the face of the earth, was born of Lucifer. You can't generalize. As soon as you start to generalize and stuff, you just forget it. You've already lost the ball game. It's never all A or B or C. It's all of the above. Always. It's always all of the above. Are there beings in the universe that are not indigenous to planet Earth, that are not workers of Satan? And the answer is absolutely. Our Bible tells us so. It may be only one verse, but hey, how many do you need? I know people try to say wacky things like they contort the scripture and they say out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything. And they use that as their, no, I can tell you there are plenty of verses that stand alone and there ain't two or three witnesses to save it. Now, granted, if all the books, the legitimate Holy Spirit inspired books of the Apocrypha were in the Bible, that may be a different story, because we have that destroyer of nations in Jeremiah, I believe it's chapter 5, which is a direct reference to Nibiru, Planet X, Tyche, you know, the solar system. There are some out there that believe that it's only one planet. That is inaccurate. It is a solar system. It was our Heavenly Father that created physics. Now, point to scriptures and try to prove otherwise, but it's that's absolutely as silly can be. How can God destroy the heavens and the earth and recreate the heavens and the earth? And why in the world would he want to recreate the heavens and the earth? Why does Genesis 2:4 say these are the generations? And it's plural. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when the Lord God. That, you know, that is the first place in the Bible, Genesis 2:4, where our Heavenly Father is mentioned. When it says, let us create them in our image, those are creator gods. Our Heavenly Father, just like divine healing and just like casting out of devils, when you look at somebody and you point your finger and remember that you talk to the mountain just like Jesus did, when Jesus used the metaphor / parabolic sort of reference where he said, talk to the mountain, be thou cast down into the sea kind of thing, all right? He was trying to explain to you that Christ and Jesus' power is in each of us. It resides in us. Unless you're really naughty, and then it might, you know, be put on vacation for a while until you get your ducks in a row. But when he said that, he was trying to help us to understand that when we are exerting, when we are projecting the power of the Godhead through us, we need to point, I'm doing an exaggeration on purpose to make the point. We need to point our fingers at the demons. We're talking to the demons. The people are victims, unless they're reptilians. Or unless they're heavily, heavily demon-possessed. And then, if they're unwilling to acknowledge that they're demon-possessed, then they're going to keep the demons. What we can do is we can cast demons out as a third party. And I was able to understand this concept by reading Smith Wigglesworth books and stuff like this. Now, it's much less effective when you're doing it as a third party. When somebody comes to you and says, I have demons, I need to be delivered, that person is going to be delivered. Now, unless they're satanically ritually abused, SRADID, which is basically multiple personality disorders. That's what they used to call it, MPD, but now they call it DID. And of course, all of the doctors call it schizophrenia. In the book Blood on the Doorpost, written by Bill Schnobelin, he makes the correct statement in the very beginning of the book that if we went into all the psychiatric wards in the world and cast demons out of every single person in a psychiatric ward, they would all be empty. Now, where he misses on that one is he doesn't understand SRADID, because you can't cast demons out of all the soul rooms, because when our Heavenly Father created us and a very special way, so that to protect us from trauma as much as he could, he designed us fearfully and wonderfully made so that we would block out remembrance of the most traumatic events that happened to us. So when I go back to when I was, 17, almost 18, taking my girlfriend back to her college dorm, she had to be back by 12 midnight. It was like the rule. At Lebanon Valley College in Annville, Pennsylvania, which I almost went to for psychology. Thank you, Jesus. My dad told me not to, and I took his advice. But anyway, I was taking her back just, oh, maybe 10 minutes prior to midnight, we were pulling up at the college entrance. And it was a cold, kind of a rainy night. Heavy rain. Real heavy. It's coming down, not cats and dogs like it does in Florida, but very steady, windshield wipers on high kind of rain. And most, it's amazing how many people that have passed their driver's test do not understand the meaning of a yellow light. The yellow light simply means clear the intersection. Now, unfortunately, when the police do what's called sting operations, because they have an intersection where people are blasting through yellow lights like crazy and causing accidents, when they're doing a sting operation, then they just write tickets for everybody. Even though that's not what they ought to do, they do it anyhow because it's a sting. They break the rules. And you can take the ticket that you got and, you know, do the best that you can to go in and fight it. And probably win, actually. Most of those tickets can be won if you're willing to take the time off of work and go down and talk to the judge. And most of the time, the ticket-writing police officer doesn't have time to go in and testify against you, so they forfeit anyways. So anyway, the rain was coming down, and I was in this heavy car. I remember it was originally my grandfather's Buick. I found out today that my mother's grandmother was a Russian Jew, real one, not one of the Khazars, and married a man by the name of Weissman. Just found that out today. But anyway, not that that means anything. I just, you know, it's just fascinating. So we're heading in, you know, we're in this very heavy car. Because back in those days, in the 70s, the cars were solid steel and they were heavy. And nobody cared about the 50-cent a gallon gasoline being gobbled up. Nobody cared about it. So I'm heading, you know, my girlfriend is sitting in the passenger seat in the front. It's a big, heavy steel Buick. I forget what model, but whatever. And I was driving it. And we pulled into the final intersection just before the entrance of Lebanon Valley College in Annville, Pennsylvania. And there was the light. There was a traffic light there. Rain is coming down. Well, I didn't know at the time that the actual legal definition of a yellow light was to, quote, clear the intersection. I learned that later. But I instinctively knew, for safety purposes, that the car was heavy, the roads were slick, and I was approaching the intersection at about 35 miles per hour. And at that speed with a car that heavy, that close to the light, if I had stepped on the gas hard to stop for the yellow light, the car would have spun out. So I proceeded, rightfully so, through the intersection while the light was yellow to clear the intersection safely. However, the opposing traffic, the person in the car coming toward me on the opposite side, did not put safety first. They put the yellow light first. And they crushed their brakes and the car went sideways in front of my car, and my car, very heavy steel Buick, smashed in to the T-boned it. Now, the reason I told you that is because I'm trying to explain to you when you're dealing with kicking demons out of people, you SRADID, if you understand how it works, you will understand why traditional spiritual warfare and demonic combat doesn't work with them. So, and remind me, please, to tell you one more supporting story that's going to blow your mind about Todd White and Pastor Oh, goodness gracious. I used to do radio shows with him all the time, and I'm just having a blank. It'll come to me in a second if I don't dwell on it. Now, I'll mention it then. But I was at a Todd White conference. But anyway, I'll tell you that. But anyway, my car T-bones this, and I later I realized the only thing I could remember about the accident, I don't remember seeing my car hit that other car. I don't remember. Can you imagine how horrible it would be to see the people in the other car that your car is crushing into? I didn't get so much as a ticket. But it was very awful to hear that the people in the other car were, one of them at least, was in critical condition. But that's all they said to me. They wouldn't give me any other information, maybe just because of the way the laws are written. I don't know. And I wasn't all that curious because I was kind of in a state of God's trauma. What happens is our Heavenly Father created in us the ability to forget the most traumatic things. Now, people who are in war situations and get real, real bad cases of post-traumatic stress syndrome, which, by the way, is very, very real, it's a form of satanic ritual abuse. Except here's the thing. They are being traumatized by seeing their friends' heads get blown off over and over and over again. Some of them seem to be able to walk away with it and it doesn't affect them. And others of them, which I believe are people who are more spiritually inclined, the people that have, because that's just how the kingdom of God works. That's why not everybody on earth, every human on earth is going to make it into heaven. This earth is a big filter. That's why Jesus stood on the hill. And he looked at the multitudes behind him and he said, if you cannot eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you may not follow after me. And they all started to murmur amongst one another. He's some kind of a lunatic. Let's get out of here. And most of the people in the multitudes left. Why is that? Because God is using planet Earth to filter out the ones who have the most spirit in them, the most God spirit. Which, by the way, would be what would be part of the elect. Not everybody is part of the elect, by the way. We know this very clearly from the parable in Matthew 22. Because the second group that was sent out by the great king to bring people to the wedding supper, not the first group because they've already been raptured. But then it says that God sent out other servants to go tell people to get ready for the wedding supper. Because the first group are gone. They're already part of the barley harvest. They're with Jesus. Because the rapture is broken into three iterations. The barley harvest, the wheat harvest, and the grape harvest, which happens during the Great Tribulation. Now, here, and by the way, the people that are cast into the Great Tribulation, if they survive, whether they survive or not is actually irrelevant. As long as they don't take the mark of the beast, and they're cast into the Great Tribulation, the Bible says that God will make them priests in the throne room of God. Which sounds pretty cool to me. But anyway, I'll be lucky if I get a Thomas Kincaid little bitty cottage in the middle of a mountain way far away from Mount Zion. But that's a whole other story. But anyway, so God creates in us, in we humans, this attribute about our personalities, etc., that blocks out the most traumatic parts of a traumatic incident. Now, if it happens over and over and over and over and over and over again, as in a war situation, you're going to have more casualties, mental casualties. If I crashed my car over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, T-boning cars, and eventually I'm going to start seeing their heads popping off and it's going to traumatize me. So God blocks that stuff out so that when we go through those things. So the only thing I really remember in regard to the accident was broken glass falling all over my body. I remember the drops of rain. I can see this windshield even now. And I remember I couldn't get my door open. So I must have, I got out. So the only way I could have gotten out is if I kicked out the driver's window with my legs, because it's the only way. I couldn't do it any other way. But somehow I got that, got it open, crawled out. I was very thin and nimble, and I could, you know, rip off a bunch of push-ups back then. Now, if I even say the word push-up, I fall asleep for like 3 days. But anyway, and I got out of the car on my side, walked around the car. Now, I don't remember when I walked around the car, none of that I remember. Not a blink of that information is in my brain. I can't remember to save my life walking around that car. Probably because what I would have seen would have really traumatized me. But I did, I know, because I do remember opening up the passenger seat where my girlfriend was slumped over and knocked out. And I pulled her out of the car, and she's pretty tall, you know. So I had a little bit of superhuman strength going on there because of the stuff. You know, the adrenaline and all that. And I literally pulled her out of the car and drug her up onto somebody's lawn. I remember it being hilly. But I don't remember anything else. I don't remember getting taken to the hospital. I don't remember any ambulances. I don't remember anything. I do vaguely remember a police officer coming in and talking to me while I was with my girlfriend in the hospital. But that's, I barely can remember that. That is what God has put into each one of the bloodline, the Adamic bloodline. And, you know, even for the Gentiles as well, you know, that are grafted onto the olive tree. Tares and those who bequeath their souls to Satan and allow very powerful demons to take over their body, and in some cases, fallen angelic beings that have the ability to shapeshift and manipulate mass, because we're in a hologram. As Einstein said, a very convincing one. But if you understand particle physics, you know that everything that we are experiencing here is just like the King James Bible says, or the New King James as well, it is temporal. I believe the King James uses the word temporal. Temporal means it's not really real. That's what it means. Temporal. It's temporary. The Latin root word of the word temporal is temporary, which is why these are the generations of the heavens and the earth when the Lord God Yahweh Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And then that's reflective of Ecclesiastes 1:9, where it says everything runs in a cycle over and over and over again. Now, I don't spend any of my time debating or thinking or wondering. I mean, I have some theories, but, you know, why would God have to destroy the heavens and the earth and then go come right back around and recreate the heavens and the earth? Why are there cycles? Why are there generations of it? Why does it repeat itself over and over again? Who are the sons of Arcturus, and why, you know, where are they? I mean, they're obviously in Arcturus. I knew a man who was a physicist and also a Hebrew scholar, Dr. Jerry Lee, and he told me that he was taken to Arcturus, and he met them. So anyway, so that's a protective mechanism that Satan uses for his purposes. He knows what makes us tick. So when an Illuminati bloodline person, those are the ones that get hurt the most. They're the ones because they eat their young. It's the great pleasure of a person born, like a person that's born in the DuPont family, for example. Okay. And it's, you know, they might have, you know, five children. Well, they decide that they're going to take little Lisa and they're going to bequeath her to Satan. They love doing that. And then they take little Lisa at the age of barely 1 or 2 years old, and they start to do horrible things to little Lisa at 3 o'clock in the morning while they're wearing their Grim Reaper masks and chanting satanic stuff and doing horrible, horrible things to them to traumatize them. And they traumatize them over and over again, because if they do it, if they traumatize them enough by making them do unspeakably horrible things, or doing unspeakably horrible things to them, they basically daze out. They blank out. Their eyes glaze over. They can't talk. They're not even the same person that they were when they were brought in there originally. What happens is they are in an altered state, which is where the term alter comes from. They call them alters. But when they call them alters, they're actually referring to the soul room, because what happens is when they do this over and over again, they can split the soul of the human into separate rooms. So one individual can have multiple soul rooms. And then in each one of those soul rooms, it's another personality, and they, using their Ooga Chaga black magic evil stuff, bring demons into those rooms. And in some cases, they can bring a whole bunch of them, and they're very, very powerful, into one room. But never mind, there's three more rooms with a whole bunch of demons in them too. And then they program them to completely forget everything. I kind of like the Men in Black movie where they flash the white light. They don't, but I don't remember what happened, you know, hardly anything of my car accident. Well, Satan knows that. So when there's different levels that they do this to people. It depends on what their mission is for Satan. So Robert Vandreas Mitchell, he's purebred Illuminati, and he still, to this very day, even though he's been under treatment with Bride Ministries for quite a while, he still is, even to this day, but he still struggles. It's extremely difficult to get all the demons out of somebody who has many soul rooms and hundreds of demons injected into them. It can take years. And these people have to feed their families. So I often have heard, you know, well, freely I give and freely I, you know, and people will badmouth the people who do satanic ritual delivery. And I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about, man. You're going to have to repent for that statement, because, there may be some people who attempt to do it for free, but let me tell you, most people are not successful, even when they think they are, because the demons are very tricky, and they know how to hide and trick you into thinking that everything is cool. That's why Catholic priests believe that they are delivering demons. They are exorcists. When in reality, the demons are just playing with them. So in the original Exorcist movie written by William Peter Blatty, which was a combination of several really bad demonic possession events across the world, what he did was he studied them, combined them into one really bad one, and then he made the original Exorcist movie from it. But they were all the things that happened in the original Exorcist movie had actually happened. It's a true story, but he combined them together to make one big, super scary one. And so at the end, when you see the Catholic priest, you know, literally diving out the window to kill himself to get rid of the demon or whatever, you know, well, actually, you know, but anyway, without getting into all the details, the point is when a Catholic priest does not have the Holy Spirit. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't. As a matter of fact, Smith Wigglesworth had met a Catholic priest, a career Catholic priest in person. And you know what he said to him when he walked in the room the first time when he met him? He said, "Brother, would you like to be saved?" And the priest had tears coming down his eyes, and he said, yes. And Smith laid hands on him and got the guy saved, and he left the Catholic Church. So things are not as they appear to be always. And if I tell stories like this, by giving testimony, it helps to make people understand better. There is no better way to teach than with analogy. In other words, this or testimony. Testimony, analogy, you know, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. That's an analogy. Now, and it's a wonderful way to help somebody understand, truly understand it. If you get technical with it and you do the Ooga Chaka stuff, people will glaze over. But if you tell a story, it helps them to remember and truly understand it. And it sticks with them for the rest of their lives. And they can actually put it into action, which is what is the most ideal outcome of this program. So to further slam dunk home the part about running across somebody who has SRADID, which, by the way, the number of people who have SRADID out there today is absolutely beyond remarkable. All these people that are, you know, going into campgrounds and gunning down people, you know, these are all SRADID. These are mind control slaves. This is what Fritz Springmeier wrote in his book. He called it, just type Fritz Springmeier. That's kind of hard to type it, but if you try to just spell it as it sounds, Springmeier, I think it is. Fritz, Fritz. Mind control slaves. He has all of that data in there. It's been around for a long time, but it's become much more advanced since that book was written. Excuse me. And so what happened was, because Fritz was ratting out the devil so badly, he came under attack, and they planted drugs in his house, and they put him in a federal prison for several years. That's what they do. But we already know that because Cheryl Atkinson, who used to be like a CNN anchor, had the same thing happen to her. The FBI had planted porn on her husband's computer so that they could come in and raid her house and depose her and get rid of her, wipe her out, try to throw her in jail. That's what they do. The evil is very evil. So the praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Heavenly Father, we just praise you. We thank you, Father. Father, we praise your holy name. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you will anoint and take away the jolts of concern that are entering into my heart regarding what I'm seeing happen with the website. I may make some action on that. I don't know. There's some things. I'd rather serve the Lord than have the evil ones come after me fervently, like they did Fritz Springmeier. So I'm kind of thinking about hiding away some of the stuff that I have posted because it might trigger the evil ones. And I know that our Heavenly Father is protecting me because otherwise I'd be killed for sure. I've already had attempts on my life by an SRADID mind control slave, essentially. But what they do, they have many different purposes for the people that they do this to. Some of them are sex slaves. Some of them are used to incriminate and get film so that they can control the person in Congress. They do all kinds of creepy things. And they can. These are people that, once they're programmed satanically and ritually abused, they literally, the phone can ring at 3 o'clock in the morning and they say ABC, and bam, the person goes into an altered state, just like you see in movies like The Bourne Identity and stuff like that. And they go out and they gun down a whole high school. because that's how they were programmed in that particular altar to respond to the code word. It is extremely sick. So to drive this point home, and then we're going to let it go and get back to the more common stuff, is we are going to hold on just a second. Lord's putting something on my heart right now. All right. Okay, I'm going to take care of this after the radio show. I just had to make a note of it. All right, so as a matter of fact, I'm going to take the time. The one webpage that I have up has something very, very strange happening. Very strange and very troubling. And I'm going to go ahead and even while the show is going on, the Lord has impressed upon my heart so strongly, just even now. There we go. That I need to hide and take that page down. And the reason is because this is, oh yeah, wow. Okay, so it looks to me from what I'm seeing on the website right now that pretty much everybody that was going to look at it has already looked at it. So I'm going to go into the post section and I'm going to click on it and I'm going to, oh, wait a minute. Nope, I didn't do it right. Okay, so what I got to do, hold on just a second, hang in there for me because it really does go very quickly once I get to where I need to go. Praise you, Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Edit and private. And okay. And update. And now I'll be finished. All right, and now I'm clicking and flushing the cache, and I'm done. All right, so now when somebody goes to the website, and I'll verify it right now just to make sure that I'm acting out of, wait a minute. Oh, hold on a second. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Update. Flush the cache. Be patient. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will go strangely dim. It doesn't seem to be working. I don't understand why. Try it one more time. That's weird. Okay, and then flush the cache. Sorry about this, folks. This is kind of super weird. I'll flush the cache again. Okay, then I'll come over to this other browser. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Nope, it's not working, which means that I'm going to have to go into the posts, click on it, and let me see here. Hold on a second. I'm so sorry. This is not going my way. I'm almost done. There's one more trick that I know that I should be able to do, unless my site has been already hacked. But let me just go ahead and hit edit one more time, edit the post, and then praise God. Let me just come down here and say move to trash. because I can always recreate. I can recreate that page in a wink if I needed to. Oh, goody. It appears to have worked. All right, and then we'll just go flush the cache. There we go. And now, if I close down this browser and open, and you know, I wonder if it's cached in the browser. See, that's the other thing that could be happening, because the browsers have caches as well. So I might be just seeing a cached page in the browser. That's what's happening. So I should be able to hit Shift Refresh. And it should disappear. Did! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. So I might not have had to trash it, but I, like I said, I can recreate it very, very easily if I want to. But anyway, the Lord placed it powerfully, powerfully on my heart while I was talking to you to take that page down that has all the Nibiru planet X planets on it from the eclipse, because that is like a, that's one of the things that, that Satan's army out there would want to take me out. Okay, you know, so when the Lord protects me. And sometimes I do things because I'm doing it for all the right reasons, and I feel that I'm doing it for all the right reasons, and he does protect me. But then at some point, you know, when I'm not quite in harmony with what he wants me to do, I'll feel this powerful rush come over me, like, you know, get that off of there, you know, don't do that, you know. You don't want to go up and stand. For example, if a Christian went up right now and walked in over to the Capitol complex, got through, somehow figured out how to get through the fences, brought a 50-watt bullhorn and walked up and said, Nancy Pelosi is a reptilian over and over again, you're going to go to jail for a really long time. There are certain things you don't want to do. You know, what is that saying? The path to hell is paved with good intentions, right? So anyway, I left the stuff up for a little while, but I just deleted it. So so the forces of darkness will, if they're all up in arms about it, or if they even know it's there, by the time they get around to looking at it, they're going to be like, oh, darn it, it's already gone. So that's how God helps me to survive. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, back to what I was saying. So anyway, the Todd White concert in regard to SRADID, and then we're going to move off the SRADID subject. So I'm just kind of hanging out, and it's, you know, any given Saturday night, and hold on just a second, and buddy, right? Pastor Aaron used to do the Deliverance show with me. I don't know if anybody remembers that, but anyway, Pastor Aaron was at the Todd White revival in Orlando. Okay, so he had flown out, you know, and he was doing some really wonderful things at the revival and helping, and people were going out in the spirit and all that kind of stuff. It was awesome. And they were doing Deliverance on the stage. Todd White was leading the way, but I didn't know any of that. I'm just kind of hanging out. I live by myself, and I'm, I don't know, probably watching a TV show or something on a Saturday night, and all of a sudden my phone rings, and I see it's Pastor Aaron Wagner, and I'm going, what would he be calling me for at like 9 o'clock at night? So naturally I answer immediately, and he's like, John, listen, hey, I'm sorry to bother you and everything, but, and I'm like, nah, don't worry about it, man. I'm not doing anything. And he's like, oh, okay, well, that's great. You know, and I walked over into my kitchen, and when I'm talking about something intense, I pace. Some of us do, some of us don't. But if it's an intense topic, I'll start to pace. And I was walking back and forth across my my kitchen while we were talking. Pastor Aaron was on the other side of the stage curtain, the big, thick curtain that they put behind the stages of a lot of these venues. Todd White was on the audience side where the thousands of people were. And he was, and he of course told the audience, he said, anybody who feels that they, you know, have certain problems in their lives, and maybe you have a demon, yeah, I will get that demon out of you. Come on up on the stage and, you know, just line up right over here, and we're going to bind and cast those demons out. And that's what he was doing, Todd White. And Pastor Aaron was part of the crew, and he was on the other side of the on the other side of the, you know, big thick curtain, the backstage area. And then he started to explain to me that they were having problems getting the demons out of one of the people. And then he goes, oh, my gosh. And he said to me, you're not going to believe what I'm seeing right now. And I'm like, what, dude? Well, you know what? And he's like, Benny Hinn is on his knees 10 feet from me, bawling his eyes out and repenting for prosperity doctrine. This is one of the reasons why our Heavenly Father does not like it when we call out. That's the way we like to say it. I'm calling out the evil in that pastor. I'm going to call them out. Guess what? You better have a real good fire suit, because you might not be going to heaven at all. Judge not, that ye be judged. And God told me that. He was very clear, because I was going to go write an article and disparage a very well-known pastor. And I used to write the articles at about 4 o'clock in the morning. Now I just routinely get up at 4. But back then, if I wasn't going to write an article, I would sleep in, you know, until like 6, get showered, and then drive to work, you know, pre-pandemic years. So anyway, the Lord told me I could literally, you know, it wasn't like I heard this thundering voice like a waterfall or any of that kind of stuff, but it was so clear. He was like, don't speak evil about my people. And I was going, oh, whoa. I mean, it freaked me out. And so naturally, I didn't write that article. And wouldn't you know it, I put a little joking cartoon up on Facebook, because back then I was dumb enough to actually use that product. And, you know, just remember, when you're putting your friends, your family, your kids, your babies, and everything else, the satanic baby-killing, adrenal-comb-drinking entities out there are collecting all your photographs, and they're running them into their facial recognition scanners and all that other stuff so they can come and scoop you all up. Oh, but it's just Facebook. I wanted to share a picture of my sister Sally and her pretty haircut. You just don't understand. Facebook and Google, YouTube, were created by the National Security Agency and the CIA. In reality, the original funding came from the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency. Those are the black ops. Those are the ones that work with the aliens and install alien tech, the fallen angels, and they are able to create weather modification, earthquakes. They can steer hurricanes, create hurricanes. And the tech that they're using today is 1,000 times more high tech than HAARP. Anybody out there who says, oh, look, it must be HAARP. No. The stuff they have today makes HAARP look like a bunch of rusty wires on a couple of, towers. The stuff they have today is unbelievable. Nuclear-powered neutrino generators. I mean, we're talking about some stuff that is just so unbelievably advanced. But it's because we're at the very end. So, Pastor Aaron, after that, he says to me, oh, I'm sorry, let me get back on track. He goes, yeah, so Todd, so anyway, I'm calling you because we can't get the demons out of this one girl. And I said to Pastor Aaron, I said, oh, I know what's wrong. I said, you just need to get her off the stage and just go to the next person. And he's like, well, what is it? What? And I said, okay, so the person that you have right now that you can't get the demons out of, that person is satanically, S-R-A-D-I-D, they're satanically ritually abused, and they have multiple soul rooms, and there are demons, powerful walk-in demons, that are injected into those various rooms. And you can't just say, in the mighty name of Jesus, I command you, demon from darkness, get out, because there's 5 or 6 or 10 or 12 or 100 other soul rooms that they've created in that person, with bunches and bunches of more demons waiting to come out and manifest. So I let him know. I said, Aaron, you got to get her off the stage and go to the next person. You're not going to be able to deliver that person. And he's like, oh, man, thanks a lot. I knew that you would have the answer. Praise Jesus. And then, of course, that's what evidently Todd White did do. Praise God. So we all make little contributions sometimes that maybe are meaningful. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Father. So I have so many things that are part of my life that are related to this. This is in my this story I've told a couple of times. But, you know, Psalm 66:18 says, if I have iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Well, what about if you're doing, you know, iniquity is what causes, you know, habitual sin in a person's life. You know, if they're watching porn all the time or committing adultery regularly, well, that's the iniquity is, hey, I'm once saved, always saved, so God's going to go ahead and forgive me anyway. That is iniquity. And then committing the sins on account of that iniquity are the sins. Believing that it's okay to shoot your way into heaven is iniquity. Pulling the trigger is the sin. That's why David was so fervent about asking our Heavenly Father to remove all of his transgressions, all of his sins, and all of his iniquity and create in him a clean heart in Psalm 51. And he said it multiple times. I'm sure he was in tears when he said that prayer. I'm sure of it. So anyway, and there was one other thing that I was going to share that I started to share. And maybe the Lord will bring it back to my recollection. Because whenever I do these testimonial type things, I'm just kind of winging it. And whatever is impressed upon my heart at the moment, I just speak about it. And so I believe with all of my heart that if the Lord wants me to go ahead and address it, he'll inject it back into my spirit and I'll talk about it and weave it in. But anyway, so it was very important to get that part of the testimony out and regarding satanic ritual abuse victims because they are a very, very special case. But unfortunately today, they are very, very, very alarmingly pervasive. Okay? They're everywhere. And it's important for anybody who wants to understand or learn about our power in the name of Jesus to understand that that exists. Very important. I'm trying to watch the clock, too, because when I do testimonial and anecdotal type programs, the clock flies. All right. Now, all that being said, you could potentially, and I can tell you, there are a lot of Christians that don't want to do deliverance, even though the Bible says, you know, and these things will, you know, follow those who believe. They will cast out devils in my name. You know, they will speak with new tongues. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. You know, you know, these signs will follow those who believe. Matthew 16:16, 17, and 18. Now, I can tell you that Lester Sumrall, who is greatly loved by the Lord, and I read his biography, very, very detailed. And he told the Lord when he was in Manila, there was a woman in the this is very important to know this, by the way. It is right on target with this topic. He was told – he was in Manila because he felt that the Lord wanted him to seed and create a church in Manila, the Philippines. So he went there to talk to the governor of Manila and see if there was a facility that he could convert into a church. That was his whole purpose for being there. And back in those days, you know, you rode on steamships and things like that, you know. You didn't just jump on United Airlines, you know, whatever, that kind of thing. So he went through a lot of trouble to get to Manila. And when he arrived in Manila, back then they didn't have television. They had short wave radio, which I happen to know a lot about. And he turned on in his room the shortwave radio that was there, and on all, you know, it was a big, big deal. And they're like doing like, you know, it's like the Super Bowl, and they've got, you know, newscasters talking on the shortwave radio going, we're here at the prison in Manila, and this woman, and I forget what her name was, this woman, we'll just call her, you know, Sally. This woman, Sally, is possessed by demons, and she has killed three more guards overnight, and there's horrible things happening here. And they're literally broadcasting it to the entire world, you know, as far as the shortwave radio was reaching at that time. And they, back in those days, the sun was just right, and they could transmit sometimes all over the entire world if you had the right type of radio to pick it up. And they can also rebroadcast as well. But anyway, he heard them doing this like blow-by-blow of this Sally-possessed woman. And again, that's not her name, the actual name in the book. I'm just using it because I don't remember it. But anyway, she had been there for weeks and weeks and weeks, and many, many, many people had been killed, slaughtered. They had her in the jail cell, but it was kind of like the original Exorcist. I mean, this woman had incredibly powerful demons inside of her. And so it became a really, really big worldwide deal. And Lester heard this from his hotel room. And the Lord said to him when he was hearing it, I know they had all these different pastors coming in one at a time from the Catholic Church, from the Lutheran Church, from whatever, different ones coming in to get rid of the demons because they all thought they knew how to do it. And they all failed, and some of them were killed. And Lester felt the Lord talking to him, saying, Lester, I want you to go deliver the demons from that woman. And Lester was like, oh, no, Lord, no. Yeah, I told you I hate doing deliverance. I don't want anything to do with that. And the Lord said to Lester Summerall, he said, I don't have anybody else. And of course, incredible guilt trip came over Lester. And he told the Lord, of course I will. So he went in to do it. And I'm cutting a very long story short. He went in. He, full of the Holy Spirit, full of the power of Jesus. And he talked to the demon. He never talked to the Sally girl. He talked to the demon. And he said, you know, and he cast it out. Now, it was a challenging casting out of a demon. Some of them are more powerful and harder to get out. And he had to put quite a bit of effort into it. But he did. And he was able to cast them out of her. And she literally crumpled over on the ground, I imagine. I don't remember that level of detail, but, you know, that's a very common thing to happen when a person is delivered from powerful demons is the demons release the control over the brain and the body. See, when true possession, the difference between you can be possessed, you can have demons inside of you as a Christian, but they're not necessarily controlling your breathing, your eyesight, your voice, and all that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? So what the schizophrenia doctors do is they put them on things like Abilify, and they basically turn them into vegetables. And then the demons can't manipulate the body, the vocal cords, the mind of the individual because they're completely fried. They don't have any cognitive abilities anymore because Abilify turns them into a veg, especially if they get the big once every 30 day shots. So which kind of makes me very sad because I cared very much at one time in my life for somebody who was a victim. But the altar in her was sent to kill me. But it was, but it's a long story. I'm not going to spend too much time on that. I might do that on a Saturday morning. Who knows? But anyway, so Lester gets the demons out, and it's all over the radio because they had so many other pastors that had come before him, and now suddenly there's this star pastor named Lester Summerall, and they're calling it like the Philadelphia Eagles have just won the Super Bowl. I mean, you know, that's how it was. Now, Lester was humble and everything, and he was glad it was over with, and he left. And that was that. He didn't want any spotlight. He didn't want any interviews, and he walked out and he left. And went back to his hotel room. And the very next day, he turns on the radio, and the demons are back, and she's killing people again. And Lester's going, "What? This is impossible." And so, of course, in obedience to the Lord, he goes back. They let him in immediately. And Lester sits beside this woman, and he, I don't know exactly all the details of what he did, but he basically talked to the mountain. Like Jesus said, you talk to the mountain, you talk at the demon, you kick him like a dog. Get out, you know, a rabid dog. You kick him like a reptilian trying to eat your kid. How about that? But anyway, and what he did was he said he knew the demons were there and they were actively controlling her. And he said, you know, I don't know. He may have asked it what its name was or whatever. I don't remember. I don't recall him saying that. I don't think he did at all. But he did talk to the demonic entity inside this woman, probably more than one, usually are. And because remember, the scripture says in Luke 12, I believe it is, it says, and, when it talks about the clean swept house. Okay, you know, you find it empty, swept, and put in order. And then the demons go and find seven other demons more wicked than themselves, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. So shall it be with this wicked generation, which is why Jesus said, now go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. That's what he told one of the guys that he healed. So by casting out the demon, in many cases, Jesus would cast out the demons and then would heal the person. So anyway, Lester talked to the demon and said, why are you still here? In Jesus' name, I command you to tell me, why are you still here? Because we have a right to her. They have a legal right to be there. That's why Jesus said in Luke 12, you know, now go and sin no more. Not in Luke 12. Now go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you, which matches up with Luke. And hold on a second. Let me scroll down and maybe I can find it real quick. Yeah, I know I can. Cool. Almost there. All right. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. There we go. All right. So basically in Luke, I'm sorry, it's Matthew. So see right there, it's a good thing that I opened up the notes. Matthew 12, verse number 43. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. And then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. And then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. And then Jesus explains why. So shall it be with this wicked generation. Because they never go and sin no more. They go back into sin, and then the demons return. But that didn't occur to Lester. He didn't like deliverance, and he probably didn't even understand the scripture that he was reading. So he talked to the demon and asked him, we have a right to be here. And then the light bulb popped on, and Lester got it. And whether that was a manifestation of the Holy Spirit or whatever, who knows? Probably. But he said, well, then you're coming back out. And all that stuff. And they went and, you know, and he bound and ultimately he worked very hard to get the demons back out again. And they're like doing the blow-by-blow on the shortwave radio and, into, you know, and now the pastor's doing this and now the pastor, you know. And he finally gets her completely delivered again. But this time, he sits down with her and he says, now Camilla or whatever her name was, it was a Spanish name as you, or, you know, whatever, a Filipino name, because they're kind of, Filipinos are kind of like a mixture of Oriental and Spanish. but anyway, he sat down and he counseled her and he said, listen, you're delivered of the demons. And of course, the people that when they're possessed by demons, they don't remember it. They don't remember it. They don't remember killing the guard. They don't remember their head spinning around and pea soup jumping out of their mouth and all that. They don't remember that stuff because they're under the control of the demon. They're the person who is who they are, which in the SRADID world they call core, referring to the core personality of the individual. The core personality of the individual may love Jesus with all of their heart. They may praise Jesus. They may love Jesus with all their heart, and they may be the best on the surface. They really are one of the best Christians, most loving, kind individuals you have ever met in your life. And you would never believe for a bazillion years, you would never believe that person had powerful demons that would murder people inside of them. Until they go to an altered state. Now, in the case of this woman, she just needed a little tutelage at the behest of the Holy Spirit through Lester. And he sat down with her and he said, Camilla, or whatever her name was, you have to understand something. These demons believe that they have a right to you. So basically, he led her into prayers of repentance. Okay, you need that. You got to take away the legal right of the demon to return to the clean swept house. So he led her into prayers of repentance, and then he explained to her, these demons are not very smart, and they're going to come back. But you need to take control. You, when they come back, you need to tell those demons, get out in Jesus' name. I command you. So he taught her how to get rid of them. So in combination with her repentance, some counseling about not going back into sin, and also explaining to her what she needed to do to keep the dagnabbit things from coming back, he was able to give her what the weaponry that she needed in Christ to be able to protect herself so that this would not happen to her again and she could return to normal life. Of course, I don't know what happened to her over the murders and things. Who knows? That wasn't covered in the Bible because in the meantime, the governor of Manila had heard what happened on the radio, and he miraculously gave Lester a very large building to establish a church because he heard what happened on the radio. Isn't it just absolutely so cool how our Heavenly Father works? It's why it's so important for us to do the very best we can to be as obedient as we can. And you're like, well, I don't really hear from God very well. Well, no, it's not that you're not hearing from God unless you're in willful and habitual sin. Now, that in that case, you probably aren't hearing from God. But unless you go into repentance and you confess of your sins, and our Heavenly Father is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness, all unrighteousness. Now, so it's very important to understand these fundamental concepts because it would be – now, why is it important for us to know these things? Well, because of the days that we're in right now. When I do these prayer vigils in the more traditional way, you know, that I usually set aside either in the beginning or the end, depending on the type of style of the show at that time. Sometimes, you know, in the earlier days of the prayer vigil, I would do almost the same exact thing every single Friday, which started to not make as much sense to me because after a while, because while it's nice to do that, and I do like to do that, and I always will, you know, people would tell me, they'd send me emails and say, hey, Johnny, don't worry about it. Don't worry about Blog Talk Radio being down. Brother, I love you. I'm just going to go back and listen to one of the prior shows. And I thought to myself, huh. And I wondered, you know, am I really making the best possible use of the time that I'm on the program? If the answer is to just go back to a prior show so easily. So, but also, of course, our prayer dynamics will change as the world situation changes. So using the normal prayer vigil agenda, if you will, the style of the prayers and everything else, and the reading of the various Bible verses, is a good thing, because it is each live program that we do that type of prayer vigil, the global dynamics are changing. Nibiru, Planet X, Tyche, whatever you want to call it, the destroyer of nations, the Bible and Jeremiah, and in 2 Esdras 15, verse 28, it's called the horrible star. And that book was in the 1611 King James before the evil ones took it out. The book of Jubilees is mentioned by name, and they still call it Apocrypha in the current Bible. There are 22 books of the Bible that are mentioned in the Bible that we have today that nobody knows where they are. So, and then don't even get me going on Ethiopian Coptic texts. Now, the it's important to know all these things fundamentally to realize how vast J. Vernon McGee, who was, and let me see if I can find that. I wonder, oh, I bet you I can't find it. Oh, I can try. I can try. Praise you, Lord. Okay, hallelujah. So anyway, oh, wait a minute. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Show notes, testimonies, judging the few, casting lots, Planet X, Nibiru. I'm reading the links on tribulationnow.com. Catholics go here. Angel Wars in the Original Sin Part 2. Angel Wars in the Original Sin Part 1. Quit Smoking Now. Rapture Warning Flyers, which are no longer relevant. I need to kill that page. Aliens, UFOs, and Fallen Angels, which has a lot of cool stuff in it. The Baptism of the Holy Spirit, where I help people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit through my testimony and some other stuff. Advice to a Porn Addict, Your DNA Must Be Born Again, where Jesus met with this young lady in Africa and told her that one strand of our DNA is from Satan and the other strand of our DNA is from our Heavenly Father. And that's why there are babies that are born with malformities. The Joel 2 and Isaiah 13 Alien Invasion show, that I don't even know if that's still around. That probably has bad links in it. I just don't have time. It's very time-consuming to maintain a website. Very, very, very time-consuming. The Outer Darkness, UFOs, Revelation Made Simple. What I'm really looking for here, and I don't want to waste my time looking at all the links, The Effects of a Rogue Planet. What I'm looking for is Mac Foster, Prayer Vigil, Precious Testimony, Privacy, Rapture Timeline, Spiritual Warfare Prayers, very important for this show. There is the links on tribulationnow.com, they're in both sections, and they're entitled Spiritual Warfare Prayers. And I have the prayers that we pray on this show where I go like this. I say, Dear Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, any entity of the darkness, worker of Satan, live or dead human spirit, member of a witch coven, anything that cannot call Jesus Christ its Lord and Savior, that at the moment that they you set your wills, you talk to the mountain, that you set your wills against me, that you set your wills against me. I command in Jesus' name and declare in Jesus' name the holy fire of God to shoot down. And believe me, folks, it is about fervent. You don't pray these types of prayers. Look, when Cujo has you that has your three-year-old by the arm and is dragging it away to eat it or, whatever, what you going to do? You're going to sit there and go, hey, hey, Cujo, here, puppy, Cujo. In the meantime, Cujo's, the only thing left of your three-year-old is the foot, the left foot, by the time you're mamby-pambying around going, Cujo, come here, Cujo. That's naughty doggy, naughty doggy. It doesn't work. Dear Heavenly Father, please take the demons out of my daughter. It doesn't work. So back to the testimonials to help teach more about these things. And I'll get to the holy fire part before the close of the show. And when we'll do communion together, you know, a cappella. Praise Jesus. I think I said that right. But anyway, another testimony. Remember that nobody is perfect. None of us. No Christian is perfect. We are all full of sin all the time. First John says, if anyone thinks they are without sin, you call God a liar. If anyone thinks they are without sin, you call God a liar. Don't forget that in 2 Kings 20, verse 5, you see where King Hezekiah, who was given a death sentence by our Heavenly Father, cried out to him, begged God with tears rolling down his eyes, please do not kill me. And our Heavenly Father said to King Hezekiah, I have seen your tears, and I will answer you. If King Hezekiah was not putting all of his heart, all of his emotions into those prayers to our Heavenly Father, he would have died. God would have said, tough bananas. See you later, chump. But he didn't. The reason why our Heavenly Father cut Hezekiah a break was because he saw his tears. I've even had people tell me, well, I can't fake cry. Well, you shouldn't have to fake cry, because what you're doing is, and I feel sorry for the person that said this to me, because that particular person had a lot of sicknesses and mental disorders, and they were using traditional medicine, and they were under the influence of so many pharmaceuticals, very dangerous ones, by the way. And, you know, that when they're under that much medication, it's kind of like the Abilify shot. You know, they're kind of like, they might be able to walk, they might be able to talk, but they don't really, you know, have the ability to lean into the prayers emotionally. See, what I learned, fascinating, this is very fascinating, what I learned when I was studying the UFO phenomenon, the aliens and the fallen angels, very, very deeply, very, very heavily, I probably have read, I know that this sounds a little puffed up, and I'm sorry, and I can even mention names of very famous people, but I am almost 99% positive that I know more about this subject than they do. But it's okay. I love their work. I praise Jesus for their work. It's absolutely fabulous. I encourage that work. But their understanding is limited, because they're focused on this, or they're focused on that, or they got to sell some DVDs, because otherwise they're not going to be able to pay their electric bill. And I totally understand that, which is one of the reasons why I had a conversation with our Heavenly Father, and I said, Father, I promise you I will continue to do the radio show as long as you help me keep my job. And he has. I was going to be fired at my last job. They were going to fire me. The kill shot was when this senior director said to me on this call, which was intended to fire me. The call was meant to terminate me after something like 10 years of working there. And the question was, this was the kill shot, have you ever taken any money from that podcast that you do? And I said, not a penny, which was true. And he said, all right, then. No problem. And he said, talk to you later. Hung up the phone, and I was fine. And he promoted me 2 times that year. For real. That's how it worked. God loves it when we tell the truth. So there was a method to God's madness in having me do this program the way that I do it. In fact, I remember now the Lord has brought it back to my recollection that I never finished the testimony about my mother when I was 10. She only had 2 supernatural events in her life. Well, she had one when she was dying where she saw Jesus and she wiggled her hands and feet and everything to let, because she was in a kind of a coma. Couldn't talk. And my sister said, can you see Jesus? Can you see Jesus? If you can, wiggle your fingers. And she not only wiggled her fingers, but she literally, her hands and her feet went like 1,000 miles an hour, bobbling all over the place. She couldn't speak. But boy, could she move her hands and her feet to tell my sister that she saw Jesus. So my mother had 2 supernatural experiences. She did not tell my sisters, and I do not know why. Maybe the Lord impressed upon her heart not to, to keep it just between, you know, private, between me, the recipient, and her. Between God, her, and me. The first time it was a dream. Actually, the order of them were reversed. The first event was she sat me down at 39 Runyon Road, Hummelstown, Pennsylvania, 17036. Now somebody else is living there, and they tore the place up. It used to have like gazillions of trees and weeping willows. It was really beautiful, and then, you know, a lot of people don't like trees. But anyway, it was a little bitty house. And she sat me down in the kitchen. I was 10 years old, probably about 8 months after I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And she said, Johnny, I had an incredible vision from the Lord. The Lord showed. Now she's looking at me. She's given me this message. There's a reason why God wanted me to get this message. Nobody else. Just me. Johnny, the Lord showed me the Antichrist in a vision last night. So I'm 10 years old, and I'm looking at her like deer in the headlights, big round eyes like saucers. And she says, Johnny, he is a mulatto man, half white and half black. And he's almost exactly your age. He's alive on the earth today. Well, it turns out that Obama is exactly 6 months older than me. And it wasn't until I heard, because I had been living in sin, as once saved, always saved, and I had already, even as I recall, I believe I had already started the radio show. No, I hadn't. I found Jonathan Kleck on YouTube, and he was prophesying that Obama was the Antichrist almost immediately after he came out in front of people. He was one of the first people in the entire world of 8 billion people to prophesy publicly that Obama was the Antichrist. Now, in 2008, as I recall, 25% of the American population in a poll testified or stated to the pollsters that they – 25% that they believed that Obama was the Antichrist. The problem is people's memories are about – they're like a nanoparticle. They're like a quark. So what happens is people think, well, Obama's no longer on the world stage anymore, so I must have been wrong. So they move on. They move on, and they go preach about other things. They were going to church after church after church, telling everybody, going on radio shows, telling everybody that Obama's the Antichrist. That's like lightning from the east to the west. It translates into Obama, okay, and all this other stuff. And, you know, and then they all forget about it as soon as he disappears off the world stage. Not me, because in 1972, my mom, one of two very supernatural events, said, Johnny, he's a mulatto man, and he's almost your age. And then there I was, looking at Jonathan Kleck in the early 2000s on YouTube, prophesying that Obama was the Antichrist. And it wasn't long after that I guess maybe the Holy Spirit, I don't know, or maybe it was just me, but my brain suddenly remembered in great technicolor that moment that my mother set me down and said that. And I was like, oh my goodness. And aliens and emotions. Hold on, let me write this down because you need to know about this too. Aliens plus emotions. I don't want to forget about it. So that was the one thing my mother told me, and only me. And then maybe a couple of weeks went by or whatever the case is. Who knows? Maybe a couple of months went by, but I was still 10. And she did it again. I said, Johnny, sit down. I got to talk to you. And I sat down in the kitchen. I remember a really small kitchen with a little dinette in it. And she said, Johnny, I have to tell you something. The Lord gave me a dream about you. And I've got the saucer eyes again. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, well. And she's like, but I couldn't interpret it. I didn't know what it meant, so I wrote it all down. And I'm still listening fervently. And she goes, so I wrote it all down. And then I went and found Gerald Durstein, I guess, is probably the more better pronunciation. And Gerald had a ministry in Florida, but he would travel back and forth to Luke and Edna Weaver's church, where I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it was so full of the Holy Spirit. It was unbelievable. They even set aside special days every week to bring down the baptism of the Holy Spirit on whoever wanted it. I mean, it was standing room only. Sometimes there was like 80 people standing out in the parking lot just looking over each other's heads trying to see what was going on. It was amazing. Anyway, she said, I took the dream, I wrote it down, and I gave it to Gerald Durstein, and I asked him, brother, would you pray over this and see if the Lord gives you a word of wisdom, which is a gift of the Holy Spirit? A couple weeks go by, she says, and he comes back and he meets up with her at the church and tells her, Dottie, her name was Dorothy and they called her Dottie, Dottie, I have an answer for you on what you wrote down on the dream that you had about your son John. And he told her, he said, what the Lord told me that this dream means. This is very much like Joseph's dream, you know, where, you know, nobody knew exactly, you know, and same thing with Daniel. I mean, it's amazing. These kind of things happen, you know. But anyway, he said, your son John is going to become a well-known end times preacher. And he's going to be unmarried. That's all he said. And my mother repeated it back to me at the age of 10. Three failed marriages later, looked like the Lord had a plan and he was going to make sure it got executed on. And it wasn't, you know, these were situations where I was cheated on. It wasn't me. I didn't leave anybody voluntarily. It was nothing like that. But anyway, there was one situation where I did, because the individual got into crack cocaine and it But anyway, we're still friends now, and she's totally all about Jesus, and it's a good thing. But anyway, but the Lord wanted me. He was fulfilling that prophecy. Now, in 2016, I had already done the radio show for several years since 2011. So 2011 to 2012, 13, 14, 15, 16. 5 years I had been doing the radio show. And I was lonely. And when and all these prophets had come out, I'm not going to name them, but I'm going to tell you there was a whole lot of them. And they were prophesying that Obama was going to be the last president. And it was overwhelming, the amount of prophetic prophecies and such about Obama staying, he becoming the last president. And then it was going to institute martial law. I mean, I can mention so many names, but I'm not going to. It doesn't mean sometimes people, when we all prophesy in part. So sometimes people get some of the most important details a little bit sideways. It happens. Doesn't mean that they're intentionally false prophets or they're demon-possessed. It's not like that. We prophesy in part. We see through the mirror dimly. And then, of course, we got the seducing spirits that have been allowed out. Now, in accordance with the Stanley Frodsham prophecy, and they're all over the place. And there's so many other examples that I could give. But anyway, but it's not all that important. What I really wanted to get across was, in 2016, I broke away from the will of God. I didn't know I was, though. That was the thing. So you really got to watch your P's and Q's. Lesson number one, if the Lord tells you, or somebody prophesies over you and says, oh my gosh, I just remembered something. When I was with my third wife, who I really loved, I loved her so much, but she cheated on me, but I don't want to get into the details. That was pretty awful. But anyway, she, her and I were in Pennsylvania visiting the family. And we went with my sister to this small church that was very anointed, and they had a guest husband and wife ministry couple there, and they had the gift of the word of knowledge, the Holy Spirit gift of the word of knowledge. And they stood up in the front, and they said, after they preached for a little while and gave testimony, they said, anybody that would like us to give you a word of knowledge, please come forward and stand in line. So I said, I looked at Kim and I said, hey, let's go up. And she's like, okay, cool, let's do it. So we went and got in line. And everybody was getting these words of knowledge about their marriage and what was going to be happening in their future and that the Lord was pleased with them and all this other stuff. And then Kim and I stood in front of them and they looked at us and they said, we're sorry. We don't see anything. Kim and I looked at each other like, what is that all about? How embarrassing. We don't see anything. And you know what? What they saw was of God. Because God, Psalm 139:16, already knew what he had written in my book about me. But I was outside of his will at the time. I didn't know any better. So similar, I didn't know any better either in 2016. I became so discouraged and depressed over the fact that Trump won because I just wanted to go home to be with Jesus. Doing all the radio shows, I had already done thousands of radio shows by then. Thousands. Most of which had, I'd say about half of them had guests. But I was just emotionally destroyed. Because the sacrifice for, especially a man, to have to make, because you're not even allowed to think about a woman. and, you know, the plumbing issues and stuff. That's a real problem. And so it took a lot of prayer and praise and hallelujah and thank you, Jesus, until it didn't become a problem no more. But anyway, fear of God had a lot to do with it, too. Let me tell you something. You become pretty motivated when you know what hell is like and you don't want to avoid it. But, excuse me, I did not know that I was out of the will of God. I said to our Father on my knees in tears, Father, you even said to Adam that he was lonely, so you created for him a helper. You know, I did that whole satanic thing where Satan took Jesus into the desert and used the word of God, you know, against Jesus. And then Jesus said the word of God back to him and basically took him out, won the wrestling match of wits. Well, I tried to pull that with our Heavenly Father. And I started to quote him different parts of the Bible that said, talked about husband and wife and all this kind of stuff. And I said, Father, please, I can't stand it anymore. And I cried out to him. And this went on for a long time, probably a couple of months. I don't know why I have this frog in my throat here. But anyway, I have a little bit of postnasal drip. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So anyway, so I prayed fervently in tears using the scripture, talking to the Father, using the scripture and saying, Father, this is what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. You know, you're a merciful God. Can't you please, please let me have a helper? A godly one that you pick out for me? Please? Well, suddenly, donuts started showing up on my doorstep. And then at the end of a prayer vigil, a car pulled up one night, and a very pretty, young, blonde lady was standing there. She was astonishingly pretty. And I told her, I said, she said, yeah, you know, I'm busted. I was leaving the donuts here for you. I know that you like them. I love the prayer vigil. She was in what's called core. It was her normal, natural personality. She would go to the Paul Bigley conferences. She loved the Lord. One time when she was in core, I said to her, you got demons, because I hadn't figured it out yet. But anyway, I held up on our initial meeting, I held up my hand and I showed her my Ani Lodoti Vodoti Li ring, which the Jewish people use as wedding bands. I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine, because they see it in the flesh. It's really between Jesus, our bridegroom, and the bride. I am my beloved and my beloved is mine. But the Jewish people don't understand that. But I bought an Ani Lodoti ring. You know, it's just sterling silver. And it says, Ani Lodoti Vedoti Li on it in Hebrew. I remember I went to a client site one time and the guy was obviously Jewish. And, you know, he looked Jewish. He dressed, you know, you could tell. And I really knew he was Jewish when he started to stare incessantly at my ring. You know, I bet he was thinking to himself, what is that guy doing with that ring on his hand? He probably figured that I was married to a Jewish woman or something. But anyway, I held up my hand and I said to her, I'm married to Jesus. And tears started rolling down her eyes. And she said, you were my last hope. And she walked away, got in her car and drove away. However, she was persistent. I kept on praying, kept on praying, kept on praying. And I did have second thoughts. I thought to myself, wow, I've been praying and crying and praying and crying to the Lord for months now. Maybe this is the answer to my prayer. And I started to soften up. Anyway, long story short, you know, I caved. Oh, and boy, if I ever give the full testimony of everything that happened, people would not believe it. They would be astonished, just absolutely astonished to hear the details of that testimony. The bottom line is that I stepped outside of God's will. I knew what God's will was. But my flesh overrode it. And I even had the audacity to do exactly what Satan did to Jesus in the desert and quote the scriptures of the Holy Bible regarding marriage to our Father, beseeching him to have mercy on me. Well, he surely did. And he taught me the lesson of my life. Let me tell you. The individual was SRADID, and the individual, I had already contacted Dr. Preston Bailey to get her delivered, and then at that moment in time, she immediately moved out of the house. Now, granted, she was in an altered state. She wasn't core at that time. I could tell. You can see it in their eyes. They become very zombie-like. And two police officers came to the door, and I could see a big truck and a trailer out there and in the cul-de-sac. And then she showed up, and the police officers were there to keep peace, as if I would ever do anything, you know, but that's what they did. And then, and I could see the look on her face. I could tell that she was in an altered state, definitely. And all of her stuff got put in the truck and off she went. And then it was annulled. The Florida state does not annul marriages, period. It was an absolute miracle of Jesus that it was annulled. I know that's a little bit hard to believe, and you would not believe the hell we went through making this all happen, particularly because she was now living up in Michigan with her mother, and they had to fly down and coordinate with the court dates, and they wanted to do it remotely. The judge said, no dag-nabbit way you come into this courtroom, because the judges in the state of Florida are under very much duress, very, very much duress, because the judicial practices and legal precedents in the state of Florida is you do not annul a marriage. It got annulled with like a 6-page write-up. That's a miracle. And I can tell you right now, that 6-page write-up is push-pinned into the wall right beside me, right here in the Golden JIB studios, here in lovely Tampa, Florida, which is probably going to get its butt kicked by hurricane. No, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to curse it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke what I just said, and we are not going to get hit by hurricanes this year. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. But yeah, the annulment judgment is, I have a push pin, and it's push pinned right into the wall beside me here to remind me. That whole event, oh boy, I didn't tell you like 85 to 90% of it, maybe 95% of it. I only told you a teeny weeny 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 little bit. But I wanted to bring out a real testimony associated with how these things work so you understand them. Okay, and I got to make myself one more note here. I'm typing it. I'm writing on the page, holy fire, because I want to explain to you where that all comes from. So I wanted to talk about the aliens and the emotion thing, the fallen angels, reptilians, the workers of Satan. There's many different species of these, by the way. Okay. Many different. And they really are flesh and blood. I'll take that back. They're strange flesh and blood, okay, as it says in the book of Jude. So you have, because they're in a host body, they haven't been killed yet, like the giants in the book of Enoch. In the book of Enoch, it says that when a giant was killed, it became a demon immediately because they were twice dead, as it says in the book of Enoch. Twice dead, strange flesh. Those are host bodies. They do not have the spirit of the living God in them at all. The reason why the reptilians, the people that invite these reptilians to come in and shapeshift into their body and all this other creepy weirdness, and why there's so many of them out there, is because they get power. They get power. Power by stealing it out of the blood of God's children. Because at conception, at the very moment of conception, there's a flash of light that occurs when that happens. Scientists have actually filmed that with micro cameras, and they're like, wow, look at that. Flash of light occurs at conception. That is found in Genesis 2, verse 7, where the Lord God, Yahweh Elohim, breathed the capital S living soul, capital S living soul, spirit, God's spirit, into the nostrils of Adam. Well, we're all part of the Adamic bloodline, aren't we, ultimately, in our fallen state? Now, that doesn't mean, you know, I'll have to cover the other stuff on another, you know, another program. And that's why I'm debating the Saturday stuff, because there's so much of it and I just can't get it out. I have to talk 5,000 miles an hour and people cannot understand it. They don't, you know, I had people tell me when I did the last radio show on Wednesday, I was moving through the material so quickly and it was complex material. A lot of people do not understand solar systems. They don't understand ecliptic planes. They don't understand binary star systems. They don't even understand how the planets orbit around the stars. So what happens is I'm sitting there going 5,000 miles an hour explaining everything that I could about Planet X. I'm getting an email from this or a text or whatever from this person or that person telling me, wow, you know, that was sure a lot of information. You were really talking fast. Now I'm going to have to go back and listen to that again. And I thought to myself, you know what? They might listen to it 50 times and not get it. And that's when it hit me. Maybe some of this material is so important that I should just do dedicated slow talking shows on a Saturday morning. Because the information is very important. Aliens or fallen angelic beings, these are in host bodies, but they're twice dead, strange flesh, and they do not have the spirit of God in them. Okay? So why do the reptilian shape-shifting beings, and there's so much evidence of this all over the internet now, especially on Twitter, why do they eat babies? Why do they eat humans and, like, put them on a table and, like, carve them up and eat it like they're having a delicious, you know, buffet? Why do they do that? Why do they drink the blood? Why do they terrorize them and then drink the blood? Because adrenaline flows into their blood because they're terrified, or they also use what's called sex magic, which I'm not going to get into. Whenever they generate that rush of energy, the adrenaline flows into the bloodstream very fast. So when they do a sacrifice, you know, they lift up the knife, like, you know, over the child, and they're like, "I'm going to kill you!" And they lift the knife up, and the fear surge goes through the body of the person that's being sacrificed, and their adrenaline flows into their blood, and then they're able to drink the blood, and that's what they call the adrenal chrome. They can even extract scientifically the adrenal chrome out of the blood and use it in vials of, like, what you would, a type of liquid heroin. Okay, it's really a big business in Hollywood and all these sick places where they do these people are extremely possessed, and the vast majority are reptilian beings. Now, when I was researching the alien phenomenon, I didn't originally believe in aliens at all. In fact, I have thrown books across the room thinking they were ridiculous because they mentioned aliens. As a matter of fact, Nostradamus' fourth set of quatrains, which were a type of Pictionary because he was afraid of his life, for his life, he did them. The fourth set of quatrains were done as Pictionary. And I bought an interpretation of that by a couple of authors. They got together and worked very hard. And it talked about alien invasions occurring across the Earth. Guess what? He was right. But at the time, I was too immature and didn't understand it. And I said, this is a bunch of balderdash. And I took the book and threw it across the room. And I don't know where that book ended up because I wished to high heaven I had it right now. Then the Lord confirmed to me one day that I was supposed to focus on the alien problem, that it was supposed to be a major part of my ministry for all the correct reasons, because you can't interpret the book of Revelation properly without understanding the fallen angels' role in the beast government. Everybody thinks there's going to be 10 kingdoms and 10 kings, and it's going to be all divvied up and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I don't think so. In Revelation 17, it even says, and these are of one mind. These. You know, why do they talk about horns? Well, did you know that Draco reptilians have horns? Oh, I thought it was metaphor. Right, because you don't understand the fallen angel phenomenon. So, in my deep dive studies, which were in more intense than anyone could ever imagine, I've read so many books, so many DVDs. Oh, my goodness gracious. For years, I discovered that they covet our emotions because they don't have them. They hate animals. They hate them. That's why the WEF wants to kill all of our dogs, they're reptilians. They hate animals and they eat humans. They hate animals. Hate them. Has nothing to do with carbon footprint. And I found out that they covet very deeply our emotions. And I thought, I'll be a monkey's uncle. Our emotions are the manifestation of the power of the living God. Which is why King Hezekiah had to cry with tears before God, before he got that our Heavenly Father relented and gave him, let him live. Our emotions are key. That's why James 5:16b says the effective, fervent prayers of a righteous man avails much. That's why when I pray on this radio show, spiritual warfare prayers, I raise my voice. I am very intense. I am going after those demons. Don't be doing mamby-pamby stuff. It ain't gonna work. So that's very important to know. The effective, fervent prayers of a righteous man avails much. Now, the actual, I'm not going to get into that. Never mind. It'll distract from the cadence. But anyway, now regarding the holy fire of God. So Brother Larry, who is a half-brother of Brother L.V. Zapata, had been taken to heaven many times. Now he's passed on and gone to heaven now. And him and I became pretty good friends. And he used to call me all the time at the house. And he would coach me about things. You know, I would say, well, what should I do about this? This is what's happening. And you got to go get that. This guy was incredibly godly. Incredibly godly. And unbelievable. So it was just amazing. And he had come up with a prayer that he had communicated to people before he went to heaven. Maybe he found out about this in heaven. I don't know. But he said, he told people to pray, Dear Heavenly Father, please cleanse and totally purify my heart, my mind, my soul, my spirit, my flesh, my record-keeping books in heaven, and my robe and gown in heaven with your precious blood and your holy fire. Well, I saw that rippling across the internet like crazy. Now, all of a sudden, every 25-year-old girl that, you know, had a YouTube channel that she was hearing from the Lord was talking about Larry's prayers and how they changed their lives. Now, in the meantime, I talked to Larry, and I said to Larry, Larry, where's the holy fire in the Bible? And Larry goes, it's Zechariah 2:5, where it says, I will be the holy fire around you. He's talking about Jerusalem, you know, and to protect. But it wasn't too long, maybe a couple of years later, that the Lord showed me that the fire coming out of the mouth of the two witnesses, which are not two bearded Hebrews standing on a street corner in Tel Aviv, fighting off Abrams A1 tank rounds for 3.5 years. Please, somebody have a little bit of common sense when they read the Bible. But nobody does. Nobody does. So it's all about Pastor Carl Gallups testified on the radio show that I played not too long ago. The two witnesses are the, you know, you've got the original, you know, Jews that are now believers in Jesus, and you've got the Gentiles who are grafted onto the olive tree. Well, it's the lampstand and the olive tree, you know, right? You know what I'm saying? So the people are mixing their metaphors up. They're coming up with all kinds of wacky ideas, which are, and then of course there's a book of the Apocrypha that actually says that it's going to be, Elijah and Moses or some darn thing. Well, that's wrong. I highly trusted prophets. Many of them over the years have prophesied that the two witnesses are now walking the earth. And here we are in 2024, just a short period away from our departure. Planet X, Nibiru, all the planets are orbiting around the planet, our planet right now. Okay, everybody saw them and all the space anomalies and strange demons being left out of CERN and all the other things that they saw during the eclipse. They tried to scare everybody not to even go to the eclipse or use their phones, but people went ahead and used them anyway. And everybody freaked out when they saw what they saw because they didn't. Forces of darkness did not want anybody to see those things. And you can believe with all of your heart that they are hunting that stuff down like a rabid dog. I shouldn't even use that. That's a bad choice. Hunting that stuff down like a hyena, a hungry hyena. And they're bad things are probably going to happen if they're able to easily take it down. That's one thing. If it was like on my website, which the Lord just told me take it down, which is what I just did, that's a different story because they would have to get a subpoena, and by that time I'm already a dead man. Once they have to submit a subpoena to my hosting site in order to get a hold of who I am, because I have special privacy things that I pay for that forces them to get a subpoena in order to find out who the website belongs to. But they've got really incredibly good hackers too, so they can probably figure it out. But anyway, the point is, you know, I don't want to go and throw gasoline on a fire in front of the a fire, you know, set at the Capitol building right now. That would be kind of stupid. So maybe I jumped the gun. You know, I did it for all the good and right reasons, but the Lord basically just told me during this program, take it down. Now, I see that we're running short of time, so I want to talk about the holy fire. So the holy fire, when the two witnesses for 3.5 years are breathing fire out of their mouth, that is an actual metaphor, a real metaphor, for the activities of the two witnesses during the Great Tribulation. Now, a lot of people think that that's going to happen during the first 7 years. I'm not a first 7 years person. So when people come on here and give me that yickety yak about, well, it's 7 years plus 7 years because it's all in Daniel. And I went and I looked at the Hebrew text in Daniel 9, 27 or whatever it is, where it talks about, where everybody interprets that as, the 7 years plus the 7 years and, you know, that he will make a covenant with many. Well, I looked at the Hebrew, and believe it or not, there are so many 9999s. And 9999 means that the translators did not have enough text to understand what it was supposed to mean. So what they did was they guessed. They guessed what they should put there. Now, that was enough for me to toss the whole 7 years plus 7 years thing. Now, or you know what I mean, the whole 3.5, 3.5. Sorry about that. The total was 7 years. It was 3.5 of relatively not so bad times. And I'm not, you know, and everybody's out there going, I've listened for the last 13 years to people going, look, it's the covenant of many. Look, they're saying peace and safety, then sudden destruction. Look, 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 look. I've been looking until my eyes start to they turn so red that Visine doesn't work. Okay, that's said to be funny, but I'm just saying. No one was ever right, ever. When they prophesied about the two witnesses being here, they were wrong. If I had a nickel for every time, I'd be retired and doing shows 7 days a week. I realized when Blog Talk Radio was having technical difficulties and I couldn't get on the program how emotionally attached I was to this program because I live by myself. And I have, you know, the fellowship that I have is all electronic. Ironically, in 1988, I was pretty high tech and I got a modem and I started to talk to people on the internet using a chat called it was called Matchmaker, and it was done with modems, and you would dial into what they called a BBS, and you could meet girls that way, and I thought this was really neat, and I started to use the computer to talk and make relationships and friends over the computer. How ironic that I did that, and now my whole life is that way. All the listeners of the radio show, the people that want or desire to talk to me, jbaptist777@gmail.com. There are some people on Google chat that talk to me pretty regular. There's people that talk to me over SMS text. But that, isn't it ironic? 1988, I was using a modem to talk to people electronically. And here I am in 2024 doing exactly the same thing. The fire that shoots out of the mouth of the two witnesses is fire that will be used by those who are sent back down to earth after the wedding supper because they took the mission. Take the mission, John. When you get to heaven, they're going to take you into another room and they're going to ask you, do you want to go into eternal rest or do you want to take the mission, John? You need to take the mission, John. Take the mission. That's what Larry told me. And then it hit me because I couldn't think for the life of me, why would, and this nonsense about the 144,000 having to do with the rapture, that is absolutely false as false can be. False, wrong. So anybody who says that, flip the switch. That is incorrect. We all see through the mirror dimly. We all prophesy in part. And if anyone thinks they know anything, they know nothing yet, as they ought to know, 1 Corinthians 8:2. Now, so Larry told me about the holy fire, and then it hit me. If the two witnesses are using it as a weapon to help the people, the tribulation saints that are cast into the great tribulation, when the locusts are coming, they can't sting those people because they have the seal of God on their forehead. But you know that they're living in the forest. You know that they're running for their lives. You know that they didn't take the mark of the beast. And you know that they're going to become priests in heaven, in the throne room of God, once they get out of there because of all the trials and tribulations and horrific things that they had to go through. But they still rejected the mark. And God's going to reward them with priesthood in the throne room. How awesome is that? But they're going to suffer terribly, terribly. And God is going to send help. He's going to send help. because I said to myself, you know, I didn't really care who the 144,000 was. I knew that because I'm a literalist, and it says that it's going to be from the different tribes of Israel and such. And I'm like, if the Bible says it's going to be from the different tribes, then it's going to be from the different tribes. And most people who make the terrible, horrific, heretical mistake of suggesting that those are the people that are raptured, they're not only are they incredibly wrong, but they have no concept of what 144,000 people are. They've never been to a major league, well, not a major league, but you know what I mean, a major football stadium or even a college football stadium. Some of the college football stadiums hold almost 144,000 or possibly more people. Have you ever been to one of those stadiums? I submit that the people that are saying such nonsense have never been to one of those stadiums when they were full. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers Stadium, which is right down the road from my house, and I see I'm running out of time, holds only like 80,000. 144. That's not very many people, folks. There's 8 billion people on the earth. Don't tell me out of 195 countries, 243 countries if you count the island nations, that the bride of Jesus Christ, who is worldwide, only accounts for the number of people that fit into a college football stadium. No way. Oh, but it's called the remnant. People just don't understand math. They don't understand quantities. They cannot compare, you know. Anyway, that said, then I realized the holy fire is a weapon that we can wield because we're part of the Godhead. Even now, the Bible says it. You are a royal priesthood. It doesn't say you're going to become a royal priesthood. It says that we are a royal priesthood in 1 Peter 2:9. You are now a royal priesthood. We operate in the courts of heaven. That which is bound on earth is bound in heaven. That which is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. When we pray out of faith on this earth, it has 10 times the power of anyone else anywhere in all the universe. God rewards us when we are obedient to him through the power of God, through the power of Jesus, and we use it for the purpose of destroying the works of the devil, just as why Jesus was brought to the earth. Well, if we have died in Christ, if we are crucified in Christ and it is no longer we who lives but Christ who lives in us, then guess what? We are Jesus to the rest of the world right now. There's so many scriptures that I could use to substantiate all of this, you know, but I wanted to use an anecdotal testimonial method to help you understand. So when I pray, you have to understand, I was being attacked by witch covens. After that event that occurred, when I stepped out of alignment with God's will and he let me have it, and that was an attack. That was an attempt on my life, by the way, for sure. But I'm not going to get into those details. I don't have time. But the point is this. The point is that we have the power. I have not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. Jesus did not ask the demons to leave. He said, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more! ! Mark 9:25, and there's lots of others of them in Mark. Mark is pregnant with Jesus casting demons out of people and healing them. So, now that we know that prayer is the most powerful weapon in all universes. Oh no, I'm not going to be able to do I'm down to 90 seconds. Dagnabbit. Now that we know that prayer, I'm going to go into overtime just because I want to do, which means that people who are listening to the live feed will get cut off in about 60 seconds. And I'm very sorry about that. If you want to call into the show, you can dial 319-527-6020 and take communion. But I'm going to go ahead into overtime a little bit on the We got 60 seconds for you to call 319-527-6020, because in 55 seconds from now, you will not be able to call in. So anyway, I knew the Holy I was under attack by witch covens, and it was horrible, but I knew they were. I can't tell you all the things that happened that clued me in on what was going on, but they were witch covens that were controlling this individual. And then they were after me because I took out one of their assets. They were angry because the mission that Satan sent them on, they failed. And of course, they're punished. So they hated my guts. And I knew they were after me. So I and got a book of prayers. And we're down to 10 seconds, so I'm awful sorry. But I went and got a book of prayers. It was called the SRADID Deliverance Handbook from Canaan Ministries, spelled with a K, in South Africa. Boy, that's a place where there's a lot of demons. And I got the book. It was free for download. And I went through it, and I found all kind of different prayers. But I decided, wait a minute, this isn't necessary. Maybe it is when you're trying to deliver somebody from SRADID. But I realized the Lord impressed upon my spirit, powerfully so, John, why are you going after every little bitty thing? It's, you're treating prayer like there's a demon on every doorknob, and you got to mention, you know, dear Heavenly Father, I cast out demons from my computer. I cast out demons from my cell phone. I cast out demons from that flicker of light. I cast out demons from this pen on my desk. I cast the demons out that are here and there and everywhere. I cast the demons that are called Sally. I cast out the demons that are called Michael. I cast out the demons that are called Fred. You know, and they just go through all these things. And I thought, that's not necessary. Jesus never did anything like that. And anyway, and then I realized how powerful the holy fire was, and I said to myself, and I'm under heavy attack. I'm miserable. And the Lord placed, it just came to me that I needed to knock off all the wacky, long, crazy prayers that were 3 pages long. It was a waste of time. I had the holy fire of God. I've met people. God hooked me up with people that had been taken into the astral realm, where these people astral project, and God hooked me up with them. They were Christians. They had seen it in action. They had seen the holy fire of God. And the demons run. They run for it. They run for it. They're horrified. When your prayers, and by the way, I also put this together with the booklet or the, you know, white paper entitled How Satan Stops Our Prayers, Combat in the Heavenly Realm. You can find it on the internet. Type How Satan Stops Our Prayers, Combat in the Heavenly Realm. And that particular Satanist is a full of Jesus and the Holy Spirit guy, and he met with John Melindy, and he told him that stuff. And John Melindy, who's the lead pastor, the head pastor of the world's largest divine healing ministry in Africa, he didn't believe the Satanist. He was blown away by what the Satanist was telling him, that they could stop your prayers. But here's the thing. When you pray fervently and you do not allow anything to distract you, and you lean in and you put your emotions into it, and you do it in the dark and you don't have anything distracting you. If the phone rings, you don't answer it. Turn your dog-nabbit phone off. Get all that stuff out of your way. Make sure you're doing these prayers in a time of the day when nobody's going to be able to interrupt you, and you get down on your knees, you take it seriously, and you lean in on your emotions, and you seek God fervently with all your might. And all you can see is the face of God. And, you know, you're not vividly seeing the face of God, but you know what I mean. You know, you're that focused. And let me tell you, the water will flow. Be sure to bring with you a hanky. And the power will flow with the tears. And your prayers will according to the Satanist who was in who was told to go and stop the prayers of the saints. He said that when they pray through, when the saints pray through. Now, if they don't pray through, their prayers do not make it through. But when they pray through and they're very fervent and very emotional and very deep into their prayers turn into fire. And it looks like a fire tornado, and it melts this firmament of the rock. This thing, it's like a molded milk ball. It's around us. We cannot see it. It's a spiritual realm where the demons hang out, where the prince of second order demons, the principalities, the powers, the spiritual hosts, the wickedness, the thrones, all those creepy, weird, all that stuff. Those are the second order demons. But let me tell you something. When you take that sword of the Spirit into the enemy's camp, look out. Your life might get a little bumpy. Anybody who runs across the field and jumps into a foxhole with a bunch of Nazi soldiers during World War II was going to get shot at. So you got to be prepared. Every single day, with a few exceptions, I am on my knees and I say, Dear Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus and by the blood of the Lamb of God, any entity of the darkness, worker of Satan, live or dead human spirit, member of a witch coven, anything that cannot call Jesus Christ its Lord and Savior, that at the moment that you set your wills against me, I declare the holy fire of God to shoot down from the glory pillar, which is a pillar of fire inside the throne room. For people that have been there, I have not, but I have heard the testimonies. And strike those demons of darkness. Strike you by that fire of God. I command it in the name of Jesus Christ. I declare the fire of God to swirl around my dwelling place and a whirlwind of the Holy Spirit to blow it white hot. Okay? And then I pray for angels and angelic protection, et cetera, et cetera. But I use the holy fire of God as a weapon. And let me tell you, folks, I used to have to spend way more time in prayer, and my prayers were not very effectual. I was really having problems with the witch covens. And when a person is a witch, it's very, very difficult because they're human first, and then they got, by choice, they have very powerful demons inside of them. And you can't just look at them and say, demon of darkness, leave. If that person wants the demon to stay inside them, good luck. It ain't going to work. So when you're dealing with witch covens, that's rough. So that's why I used the fire of God. I had this lady named Naomi. I won't say her last name. She lived in South Africa, and she and I used to talk all the time. I mean, literally daily almost. She'd send me emails and this, that, and the other thing. I was already using the holy fire on the prayer vigil before I even learned all these things. And, oh, goodness gracious, I could tell you so much. But this lady, Naomi S., I won't tell you her last name, she said to me, you will not believe what happened. I have a Satanist who lives above in the apartment above me, and I was playing your prayer vigil really loud in the house, and I could hear him running back and forth in his apartment screaming, I'm on fire! I'm on fire! So there isn't a single person on this 8 billion human populated earth, actually. When you think about it, there's probably a lot of reptilians, so it might not be 8 billion total, but the point is this. I know. And I'm sorry if you haven't had these experiences, but it's my job to give testimony of these things, because when you put them into practice, it will change your life. I've had Elena call me up. She comes on the program all the time, you know. She deals with problems regularly. She has said to me, Johnny, you have no idea how powerful those holy fire prayers are that you told me about. I've had another person that is dealing with some issues that are demonic related that used to be a real regular listener. Now she's a friend of mine, and her problem is being brought on by a pharmaceutical that they incorrectly gave her because of some circumstances. But anyway, so we're going to get her off that. But here's the thing. She too told me, John, you can't believe it. The holy fire prayers, they're so effective. She used to, you know, pray these really long, drawn out prayers, and she just like, John, you wouldn't believe how effective those holy fire prayers are. And my answer back is, oh, yes, I would. I do believe. Praise God. So anyway, for those of you who are listening to the show on a podcast or over the telephone right now, let's go ahead and take communion and then call it a night. Praise Jesus. And also, please don't forget tribulationnow.com. Just hunt through the links. There's two links that both are called Spiritual Warfare Prayers. Now, that's a very big article, and it has so much information. It even has a photograph of a demon that was taken with a camera. I think it was on a CCTV camera in a hospital room. It has a photograph of an actual demon standing above a person getting ready to take their soul when they die. This is why witches love to work in nursing and in ICU. They love it because they're there to take the souls of the people that are in the bed. They want them to die. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you for this opportunity to share this with people. Please, Father, place it upon their heart to go find that link, to be determined to find that link. I know there's a lot of links. The Holy Spirit can show them. Let them see with their eyes. Let them at least see the holy fire prayers that I wrote by hand at the very tippity top of that article so people could find them real easy so they can print them out. Father, we pray that this will touch people's lives, change people's lives, help them to understand that prayer is the most powerful thing that we have at our disposal. It is what you created us for. It is our prayers that bring into action the angels and your power and your will on this earth. It's a ministry, and it's more important than 99.99999% of the Christians in the world realize. Father, let us never say, oh, I guess I can pray. It should have been the first choice, always. Prayer is everything. It's when the power of God comes out. And if you can speak in tongues a lot. Because the one thing that the Satanist that will try to stop your prayers cannot stop is speaking in tongues. It blasts right past all the demons. It jumps right to the front of the line. It doesn't even require a petition to be laid before our Father in his courts. It goes right into the throne room and gets answered immediately. Never forget that, especially in the days that we have to come. Father, in the name of Jesus, let us worship our Lord Jesus, and thank you, Lord Jesus, for you are our hero. For we love you, Lord, and we lift our voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. And on the same day in which you were betrayed, Jesus, you took bread, you broke it, and you gave thanks. And he said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in that same manner, Lord, you took the cup, the chalice, after supper. And you said, this cup is the new covenant, eternal contract in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Ani Ladodi Vidodi Lee. Amen. God bless you all. We'll see you next Friday, 7 p.m. Lord willing, praise Jesus. Hallelujah.
Lord, we come to you with repentant hearts. We seek you with all our might. Sinners at the mercy of grace, redeemed we are by your embrace. Praise his holy name. Praise the King of Kings. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? For you we will endure until you come back for your bride to set her free. Write our names in your book.